The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Paul Perillo.
Hi, the show is
PFW in Progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart. Sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's. Peace. Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is, hi, my name is, hi. My name is
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, the show is
PFW in Progress and Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. Of course, the AFC Championship excitement continues. The media throng is here as it was yesterday. Patriots bringing guys to the podium, like, of course, Tom Brady, but Chandler Jones, Nate Solder, Julian Edelman. It's just exciting time to be here as we get ready. It's starting to warm up a little bit in Foxborough, though. I think it's in the 20s today, and you know, compared to what it was, that's pretty warm. By the time game time rolls around, it should be low 40s, I think. Maybe some precipitation, but I don't think weather is going to be much of a factor.
Oh, yeah.
Andy,
oh, yeah.
Andy's here. Paul just walked in. Guys just came from the locker room.
Yeah, rain could be a possibility for Sunday night. I saw some of those local people. They, you know how they all do this big time, big games? They pay, make it part of the forecast.
Right.
The Patriots game. Precipitation could be an issue Sunday night.
Okay. Do you think that makes a plays into the game at all?
Well, I'd have to see what exactly. I don't think it's going to be a weather game. No.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
I don't think. I mean, that would be wind more than rain.
Right.
And how that would affect. And if the Patriots are running the ball,
yeah,
Brady's fine. Whatever. I don't think it's an issue.
So what are we thinking today, guys?
Theoretically, it would help the Patriots, right? Better running game if it were to become weather game.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. What are you guys thinking?
Blowout. Oh, I'm sorry.
How's your mood? How you feeling?
I'm in a great mood.
Yeah.
Why would I not be in a great mood? They're going to blow the Colts out. We're going to do radio for a week live from Arizona. What do I have to worry about?
Yeah, I don't.
There'll
really
be a couple
see,
good parties.
I don't see anything any different than when you yelled at me Tuesday.
I wonder what the cool parties will be. Like we kissed the bricks in Indy and
right
out there. I wonder what the cool party will be out there.
I don't know.
Desert.
No idea.
Cactus.
But you know,
you can eat cactus, right?
Still looking at the Colts. Still trying to find reasons to get worried. Colts have given up less points in 2 playoff games than the Patriots gave up in 1. Anything? Anything?
Is this thing on anything?
Bueller?
Yeah, are you really still flipping a stone thinking there's some worm under there that's going to be
Is there
the
any chance that their defense has gotten better?
No.
No?
Well, in my opinion.
Marginally, maybe. Now, the issue is their corners are hurt. I don't know if you've noticed, but their corners are hurt.
Yeah.
Well, Landry's back,
he
can't cover.
No, that's
true. You're right. He's better than Sergio Brown. He has the right to step on an NFL field when it's 4 downs of football, aside from just punting and kicking. But
and his pee is the right color.
What?
And his pee is the right color. And he has the right to step on an NFL field.
I don't think anybody should be talking about anybody else's pee on the NFL field.
The Colts played Andy Dalton without A.J. Green and Jermaine Gresham in the first game, and then a completely unraveling Colts team that knew it was about to lose its coach. Whether they wanted to lose the coach
Broncos
or not, they knew the Broncos were going to be,
Plus, Manning had those 10 bad thighs.
And say what you will about Manning, and I don't care how sarcastic everybody wants to be, it was blatantly obvious in the last four or five games when they were running the ball the whole game, and he was throwing it 20 times that he was hurt. So you can say anything you want about his performance sucked, and it did. But he was hurt the last five, 6 weeks of the season because that's why they ran the ball more than they threw it for a team that never does that. So you play two teams that basically stop themselves. And if they stop the Patriots, then I'll come here on Tuesday next week, and I'll say, wow, I didn't see that coming. I was blatantly wrong. I was dead wrong, and I'll have no problems admitting that. Okay. I just don't see it happening. The personnel's not there.
Okay, I'll give you the one thing.
Okay.
Patriots aren't motivated. I don't know. They don't have any clips to rotate through.
You know, you must have been reading my mind. Because
I did think about a lot of penises.
Sometimes
recently.
Motivation doesn't have to come directly from the team. And yesterday, a certain quarterback from New England might have gotten personal motivation out of something that Ray Lewis said. And I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. Ray Lewis was on Stephen A. Smith, and we kind of brought it up here yesterday, but maybe we can elaborate it on today, saying that had it not been for the Tuck rule, we would not know about the legacy of Tom Brady. We wouldn't even know Tom Brady's name, which is absurd because obviously he's done something since then, and it's crazy to think he wouldn't have done good things, maybe in a different order. But he's a great quarterback. He's going to be a first-round Hall of Famer, not just because of the Tuck rule, because of everything he's done since then.
Correct.
So that was kind of weird for Ray Lewis to say that. And if you're Brady, at least personally, you come out with some fire, right? No?
Well, yeah. I mean, just to bring us up to date, Brady was asked about it today and obviously didn't answer, said everybody has their opinions. Ray's a first ballot Hall of Famer, great player, gave nothing. Did say, he started by saying, yeah, Stacey told me that. Stacey James, director of media relations here, made him aware of the comments. I'm disappointed, quite frankly, that he didn't fire back. I wanted him to because it's some of the dumbest things anyone's ever said.
Do you fight back with? We wouldn't know who you were if you didn't kill somebody?
Andy would do that.
Right.
Boy, that really escalated. you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't.
Because,
I'd be afraid, Sal.
Exactly. but it's just, I don't know that motivates Brady in any way on the field or anything.
I think it does.
Now, maybe. I would love, quite frankly, I would love for him to go out there, have another performance like he did last week, three touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, and he comes to the podium and he said, I know some people think I was made by a rule, but I feel like I played a pretty good ball game tonight or something like that.
I
would love for him.
See, I'd be disappointed if he said that today, I'd have no problem with it. If he says it after he wins, I don't like that crap.
He's not allowed to
say it.
Then
don't say it after the game either.
But he's allowed to after the game.
No, I know. Don't say if you can't say it before the game, don't say it after the game.
No, but he wants to say it.
And I would have no problem if he fired back at Ray Lewis today.
But he's not allowed to.
None whatsoever.
No, he's not allowed to make a story, to create
a story.
Well, that's not an opponent.
He was allowed to post a picture of himself riding the
horse. This is kind of outside the rules here because it's not really an opponent that he'd be talking about.
No, but it's a story. Don't create noise.
Yeah.
Don't make something, and that would be massive noise. You would have SportsCenter.
Now it would
like,
go back to him. Right?
I mean, that's massive. That becomes a story of the week. He's not allowed to answer. He's just not.
I just thought it was incredibly disrespectful
of
one great football player to another.
Was
great
it your show?
That encapsulates it perfectly.
Was it the Felger and Mass?
They didn't even want to talk about it. They were so mad.
But did they play the fraudulent Ray Lewis audio of the 100 best players?
Oh,
Ray Lewis introduced Tom Brady as the 100 best players.
The Matrix.
And just could not have blown him anymore about how great he is.
That's what he called him, the Matrix.
And, like, now what are you doing? Now not only are you an idiot, you're a total fraud of all frauds.
Yeah. I think Lewis...
If you just hate him, then don't do the introduction to Tom Brady.
I think Lewis got caught up in one of his sermons, off-the-cuff sermons, and really, if he could go back, he'd take it back.
Well, you know what that leads me... I don't give him that out. Because I think when you, quote, get caught up in stuff, you say stuff that is in your head, that is in your subconscious, that is on some level how you really feel.
Yep.
Like, people who don't use the N-word don't do what Riley Cooper did, right? People who use the N-word, it's there. So now you got drunk and you got in a situation where it percolated to the top. But if you don't use the N-word, that doesn't come out. If you don't feel like that about Tom Brady, you're not getting coerced into saying that. You're laughing, you're saying that's ridiculous, whatever. There's no way, if you believe what you said on the 100 Greatest Players intro, that you say, the man was created by a rule. No, that's a good point.
It had to be somewhere in his subconscious.
The only out there is the man is a complete and total moron.
Yeah.
idiotic and vindictive, spiteful, jealous, all that.
And you know, it's so funny because, you know, it is now the norm for all of the networks that cover the NFL to hire these guys as soon as they retire. You know, when really, you know, the rivalries and all the emotion is still kind of close to them. And it's getting to be where every guy on every station has some type of agenda.
Well, you know,
not Willie McGinnis, though.
Oh, no, listen.
But you know what someone said yesterday that
was
interesting, and I forget who it was, or I credit them. Just that most of these guys, now some of them are outspoken. I wouldn't necessarily put Ray Lewis into this category because he was pretty outspoken when he was an active player. But so many of these guys are just trained the way Andy said it. They're not allowed to say anything, and they never say anything. And then they get in the media, and they got all this stuff to say, and they throw these bombs all over the place. It's like 10 years of being suppressed comes out,
right.
And they just say stupid stuff to get noticed. And,
like Logan Mankins, when he told Jackie McMullen that, you know, I still, you know, can't talk or whatever. You know, even now I'm not saying things that I'd like to say. But if that ever released, if that dam ever gave way, he might pop off and start saying all kinds of stuff.
Right. And some guys, you know, like I said, it's not.
Wes Welker.
It's right. Ray Lewis is not, because Ray Lewis was pretty outspoken as a player, too. So I'm not necessarily saying he's in that category. But I can understand that some of these guys.
I put my legs pants on one leg at a time.
He or she mouth.
But it's really not even worth discussion.
No,
so
and that's what Tony and Mike kind of thought yesterday.
You said he did plenty after that. He had also done something before that. He took a team that was had lost, you know, 5-11 the previous year,
0-2 probably,
and he made it to the playoffs. So right there, in and of itself, in his first turn as a starter, he made it to the playoffs.
Yeah,
that
if you
right
were
there
make
is an accomplishment.
If you were going to make that comment, it would be every bit as foolish. It's what we said yesterday.
Mo Lewis.
It's Mo Lewis.
No one would even know about Mo.
He had never done anything before Mo Lewis.
Right.
By the time the Tuck rule had happened, he was 11-3, as we said yesterday.
Yeah.
He had already accomplished something.
Yeah.
We should add, yesterday we were talking a lot about the different stuff with the coaches. It looked like Adam Gase was taking the San Francisco job.
Nope.
No.
Looks like
some guy I've never heard of.
Well, the defensive line coach there, right? Jim Tomsula.
But he's their career defensive line coach who it was NFL Europe, and then he seven, I think he got there as
and everybody thought that he would be a good candidate. If they stayed in house, everybody said this is the guy.
But right? I talked to some
interview him?
I talked to some insiders about that hire. And their take on it is that Balky and York are just looking for a yes man. They're looking for a
yes man. You didn't know who we talked. The insider
was. It took a
second
for me to click.
You couldn't figure out Chris Mortensen was the guy he was talking about.
Right.
You know,
I'm just kidding. It was not Jim. It was not Chris Mortensen.
They got Cold Feet bringing in a guy who, you know, might want to do things his way.
Right. That'll work out well.
Yeah. It's not going to work out. I'm telling you right
now. They already started because some of the Bay Area guys were reporting that Balky and York will, quote, assist whatever his name is, in putting his staff together.
Tomsula.
Oh, so he doesn't even get to put his... Because if you're assisting me, it means you're you have a say in putting my staff together.
Right.
Like, that's not... No.
No.
You know, it doesn't work. It kind of feels a little bit to me like when Andy Reid promoted the offensive line coach to defensive coordinator because he was the in-house guy and it was going to work and everybody loved him. And this will be a debacle. This will end poorly. It will start poorly. It's going to be horrific.
Yeah.
He might be a great motivational guy, might be a great guy, might be a decent coach. It will not end well because of the position he's in. He's not the head coach. He's the puppet for the front office.
The only thing I wonder, because I do fear that team will go down as a really wasted opportunity, but they're so talented that I wonder if, you know, you get like a Barry Switzer situation. And even if he's not great, but he's, you know, they sort of relax and exhale and let talent take over and they can be good next year. I don't think that's going to happen because I kind of think it's got disaster written all over it just the way Andy described.
And I don't even think they're good enough for that.
Yeah, but when Switzer took over,
Kaepernick is not good enough for it.
You know?
He's not Troy Aikman.
And he's not, not even the talent, he's not the right guy for that even.
Yeah.
To like be so, I mean, I guess anybody could be. But
he can't be left to his own devices.
Yeah.
All right, webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's get into some emails right off the bat.
Let's get into them.
Mark and, from
Wait,
Cheddar.
Wait, can we talk about Rex real quick?
Sure.
Did we talk about –
we haven't talked about him on the show yesterday.
He was actually on TV when we were doing the show yesterday. Well, he continues, Fred is right. The white whale is the Patriots. He was asked about wanting to beat the Jets because, you know, obvious revenge angle. No. It's about the Patriots. It'll always be about the Patriots. And throughout the little he's trying to create a bully in Buffalo, and we're not afraid of anyone, certainly not them, meaning the Patriots.
Right.
He can't help himself. Rex being Rex. I love it. I have no problem with it. I think it's going to be fun. I think you'll enjoy it. I think everybody in New England. I wrote on the blog, you know, Patriots fans have other things to worry about right now, but this is a guarantee that they'll get lathered up about Rex again in the coming months and years
in
Buffalo.
And, you know, Jim Kelly said, you know, he's already one of us, meaning a Buffalonian, which means he's unemployed.
Oh, jeez.
That's bad.
Take that back. I take it back.
And you know what? It's funny because of all the AFC East opponents, the Bills are the ones I hate the least. I don't even hate them. I've always liked the Bills. I've kind of respected them.
But so now you're torn?
It's definitely the one I dislike the least.
Yeah, I always kind of like, if it wasn't the Patriots, I would want it to be the Bills. No doubt. Without a doubt.
But not more because you just don't hate them.
But, you know, I was always the one. Right. And you guys would make fun of me in the beginning of season. Oh, watch out for the Bills.
Yeah, you and Bernie.
You know, and they'd have that start where they win three or four games and then they, you know,
and my guess is they're going to have that next year.
Troy and Edwards went 4-1 1 year. Yeah.
You know, they'll have that next year. They're going to get a boost.
But I always kind of like the Bills. But now he's going to ruin it for them.
They'll be fine.
They're going to lose me and to their detriment.
But I said to you, I think it's a great hire for them. It puts them on the map in terms of football and media. And new owner looking for whatever, stadium, money,
right.
You know, billboards. I mean, this off the field, this makes sense to me.
They asked him, where are you going to live? He goes, wherever the snow gets dumped the most.
Right.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
He's just.
Because he likes his wife's feet to be cold.
He can't help himself. He just can't help himself.
But I love it.
Why would you ask a coach where he's going to live in the press conference?
I don't know.
Well, he already went out. The Kelly thing, he went out drinking already with Kelly. They already went out to a bar and had beers or whatever.
Well, I don't have any problem with that, but like. I mean, I was at Bill Belichick's introductory press conference. It never once occurred to me, geez, I wonder where he's going to live.
Yeah.
Like, why would you ask the coach at his press conference, where are you going to live?
I don't know. Maybe in Buffalo that is
that's
important.
A big thing?
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. Like, what?
Well, maybe Andrew will call in and he'll let us know
could
why
be
that's important.
A blue collar versus
that's what I'm saying.
McMansion.
You know, there might be a reason. Maybe someone in Buffalo would let us.
It'd be
Andrew
funny
calls
if he moved to one of
time.
Those houses that, like, you know, adjacent to the stadium. You know, where everybody
and
parks
he just
their
walks
car.
Over.
And
just
people
walks.
Park in there and is right. And he charges like $20 to park in his
right.
Lot.
Right.
Sounds what? Like that could be a violation. Mike Tice on line one.
Why?
Making money. That's true. And I don't think he needs it. $27 million seems like a pretty good take.
Obviously, he wouldn't need it, but that's not the same as selling Super Bowl tickets that you get for free.
Mark from Cheddar writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, and Andy, three quick points. One, Ray Lewis, the comments were idiotic, and when I first heard them, I had one response. Luckily, a journalist/analyst/radio host on The Fan 590 in Toronto called Greg Brady, tweeted my exact thoughts, and the tweet says, we know who Ray Lewis is because his boys killed some other dudes and Ray tried to help them cover it up. And two, I was trying to figure out reasons that this game will be closer than I realized, and then I suddenly remembered, Sergio Brown, throw out of the club, Sergio Brown, which brings us to 3, it's going to be a blowout.
Well, the problem is Sergio Brown probably not going to play.
Right.
I mean, he'll play on special teams, but probably not going to play defense and be.
And in terms of the cornerbacks we brought up, I guess Chuck Pagano said yesterday that Vontae Davis is okay and he will practice today. Assuming that he's telling the truth, that sounds like it's pretty minor. I would be more worried about the other guy, Toler, because he left the game with something that looked kind of awkward late in the Broncos game in garbage time, and then he was on the injury report yesterday with a groin problem. Again, not good injuries for cornerbacks that are going to be chasing around receivers.
Now, Kat from Chicago got some heat from some listeners about, you know, how she's so outspoken about Amendola. And people are wondering if she's going to take that back. She responds, and I want to give her the platform now. She writes in, I've gotten some playful taunting about Danny Amendola since last game, so please allow me to address the Amendola cheerleaders. Has my opinion changed? Nope. It was an awful signing and continues to be an awful contract for the Patriots. Allow me to illustrate my point. Danny Amendola makes an average of $5.8 million a year. Roddy White and Anquan Boldin both make roughly the same amount, $6 million average, and Emmanuel Sanders makes an average of $5 million a year. White, Bolden, and Sanders all had over 80 receptions, over 900 yards, and between 5 to 9 touchdowns in the regular season. That's what $6 million can buy you. Amendola had 32 receptions, 281 yards, and three touchdowns. Those stats include his regular season and postseason. And thank God I combined them, because otherwise it would have been only one sad, lonely regular season touchdown, and that's just embarrassing. Amendola gets paid an average of $1.5 million a year more than Julian Edelman and earns about double what LaFell does per year. Amendola is our highest paid wide receiver. Now tell me again why I'm wrong for being pissed we signed this guy. He's grossly overpaid, and his production has been pathetic. When Amendola produces like the highest paid wide receiver on a typical NFL team, I will admit I was wrong. Not before then. Apparently he can fool some of you with a good game here and there. Feel free to jump on the bandwagon. I'll be rooting for Edelman. By the way, newsflash, the amazing part of that trick play was Edelman, not Amendola. Do you really think a different wide receiver could have made that catch? I'm overjoyed he caught it, but I don't think it makes him special or that it makes up for the whole season worth of hardcore suck. Now, on to the listener on listener crime, and this is the most important part. I take a lot of heat on the Amendola thing because I'm outspoken. I have no problem with that. Paul and Andy will remember after the first Jets game when I called the post-game show to make fun of myself and say, hey, Amendola had a couple of plays, returns, good on him. I'm willing to play along. If you dish it out, you have to be willing to take it too. It's all in good fun. This week, though, I received this tweet from Edwin, who I believe was one of the PFW elite. Danny effing Amendola, screw you, F you, sending this to Kat. Seriously, we're fans of the same team, and you tell me to screw you, F you? That tweet has no substance or logic or fun. It's just haterism. The worst part is 10 people retweeted it. Don't endorse this bullying crap. It's not witty or cool or comical. It's just nasty. I know all fan bases have their share of idiots, but can't we just try to be better than your typical internet troll? So study up, haters. When I talk about Amendola, I back my opinion up with facts and rational discussion. If you want to taunt me, that's fine. I'm good to go. But if you come at me, you should come correct and have something better in your arsenal than just telling me to go F myself. So
that was well done.
That's Kat. And I agree.
The whole
thing.
I
know the PFW Elite guys, they're hardcore fans. I get it. But sometimes they can get nasty. And it's not cool.
Boss,
especially when you're going at someone like Kat, who you know is
a hardcore fan.
There's no reason for that, that nastiness. Like she said, taunting is okay. Come at her with some facts and
correct.
Yeah, there's no reason for that. That stuff.
Kat also knows more about football than 90% of the clowns on that Facebook
page.
Well,
listen, they're not. Listen, you want to call them clown? They're fans too. But so is Kat. So let's just be cool about it. There's no reason for that.
What makes the whole thing even worse to me is that I think Kat's whole email about Amendola specifically, forgetting about the bullying and all that other stuff, she's right.
Well,
so he caught a couple of passes in a playoff game, and that erases the previous 2 years?
But I'll argue with her there and saying that's really not his fault.
Okay.
I still stand by, and actually Brady backed me up today. When his number's called, he produces.
Yeah, he said the same thing about Chad Ochocinco.
Okay, whatever. Well, no, he did.
Yes, he did.
Well, that's you can't use Brady as your example.
Because Brady's a good leader and a good teammate. You're going to use that as your excuse.
But I said it before Brady said it, and it's what I believe.
I know. You can believe it. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay, but what you can't argue is that that's not what they brought him here to do. Is contribute, a player to every week.
I agree with that, but I'm not sure that it's all I'm not sure it's because of Amendola's ability that hasn't come to fruition. And you even said yourself, if Edelman had gotten hurt, he'd be doing what Edelman does, and now we're okay with it.
First of all, I would not pay Julian Edelman $6 million a year to do what he does right now, let alone maybe Amendola could do that.
Well, that's fine, but they paid Amendola to do what Welker did.
A lot more than what Edelman's doing right now.
Wait a minute. They paid Amendola to do what Welker did, and Edelman's doing what Welker did. So obviously they thought it was worth it.
See, that's where I would disagree with
you. But that's fine.
That's where I would disagree with you. And again, I think Amendola could replicate to a degree what Edelman does. I don't know that for sure, number one, because I've never seen him do it. Number two, I would say that Edelman is not what Welker was 4 or 5 years ago. So they're paying him to do that. But it's not really that important. I think Kat's larger point is there is not a person in the NFL who would not have caught the touchdown from Edelman.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So to sit here and say, oh, what do you think of Amendola now, I think is a little silly.
But that's not all he did in that game.
He made a really nice play for the first touchdown.
Yeah, the other
a really
one was
nice
legit.
Play.
Great play.
So, again, for $31 million, we're gonna say F you, Cat, because you were wrong about Amendola.
And that's wrong.
Because he made
that's
a play
wrong.
In the
Absolutely.
First quarter. The
well,
second
that's wrong
quarter.
Either way.
Yeah. That's wrong either way.
Even if she was wrong,
you didn't
that
even,
would be wrong.
But you didn't even prove her wrong.
Right.
It makes it even worse.
Well, but that's what they do.
And that's Kat's point. Come at me, but...
Come
know,
correct.
Right.
Come correct.
That's a good line.
Right. All right.
I'm with Kat.
I'm with Kat, too. PFW Elite peeps, be nice.
Just sweet
and
Kat.
I like Danny Amendola, too. I talked to him yesterday, and I apologized after the interview. I said I conducted the worst interview in the history of interviews. I had terrible questions. I was all flustered. Patrick Chung.
So tune in.
So make sure you check that one out tonight at 7:30. Patrick Chung walks right in the middle of the interview, which I assume they'll cover with B-roll, but I don't know.
I kind of if the interview was as bad as you say it was, I might leave that in to be like the hook.
Yeah. There's a reason why it was bad.
And that, right. Just so you know, Fred, and I'm not trying
and
to
he
make
is ex- making excuses.
I'm not trying to make an excuse, but that did affect me.
He said the question after that,
I couldn't spit it out.
He couldn't fit out the
question. I lost my train of thought. I was all, like, I had an adrenaline shot. I didn't know if we should stop and start over it again. But then it was kind of late in the interview process. I mean, the locker room period.
Yeah,
I didn't know if we were going to have
magic.
Enough time.
But
the going gets tough. Paul poops himself.
I was bad. At least I admit it. I was bad.
No, I know.
Cole from Waterloo. I think we're going to win this Sunday, but I also think it'll be a close game. There's something about playoff football that seems to bring out an intensity that you can't predict. See the Ravens, Baltimore. I hope that the defense is able to hold Luck in check early, forcing some early punts so that the offense has time to get in gear. Yes, Andy, I'm expecting more of the same on the offensive side of the ball. Our defense needs to start well to have a good game. Also, does Eric know when the 2015 schedule will be released?
I like it. I just was chuckling to myself about that interview thing. I was so bad in that interview, I was the most overpaid guy in the interview with Amendola.
I agree with that.
Evan writes in, and he says the NFL Network hates the Patriots.
Willie McGinnis was in the locker room hugging.
Fred, you want to tell me what you told me today in the locker room?
I said,
Wait, listen to this one.
I noticed the Patriots gave McGinnis the locker down there. Evan from San Antonio, I love the show, and I hope you keep up the fantastic work. Comedy gold, as well as great discussions. Anyway, I would love to hear your thoughts on a segment I saw on NFL Network of ranking the four remaining teams in three categories, offense, defense, and coaching. The people doing the segment were LeVar Arrington, Terrell Davis, and someone sane, I forget who. Here's how the teams were ranked. Defense, one was Seattle, two was Indy, three was the best team, and four was the cheese people. So I assume the Patriots were three.
Oh, that's ridiculous that Indy would be ahead of the Patriots.
And four, offense from worst to best, number four was at New England in offense.
The Patriots have the worst offense of the four teams?
Yeah, and that's when I stopped watching. I assume Patriots got first in coaching.
They have a better offense than Seattle.
They better have, but please explain how New England got ranked where they were in offense and defense. Do you agree, or am I too optimistic? Yeah, I think that's...
And I also don't know what you're talking about with Rodgers. You know, to Fred's point about Rodgers' health, you know, you can, because I consider that. I would put the Patriots' offense ahead of Green Bay right now because of Rodgers' health. I don't know how you feel about it if you guys disagree. I think Green Bay probably has a better offense, but they don't right now.
I think they're pretty close. I think they're pretty neck and neck. Especially, I thought the Patriots played pretty well on offense. I don't know how if this was like an immediacy thing, if it was a big picture thing.
I put the Patriots ahead of Green Bay right now.
Well, yeah, but that's all Rodgers. I'm just saying, comparing the two, I think they're pretty close as it is with health.
Not if Rodgers is right. I think that they have more options, and I think Rodgers is better.
Well, I think Rodgers is better, but I think Gronkowski's better.
Right.
And I think you can go back and forth, and they have a combination of weapons on both teams that I think are elite.
All right, let's go to the phones. First up is Mike in Baltimore. Hey, Mike.
Hi, how you doing, Fred?
Good.
Hi, I listen to you guys a lot, but I can't ever listen to you live. I have to listen to you at night when I'm working. During the Buffalo game, you guys gave away field passes for anybody that was going. The first caller to call,
yeah,
anybody was going. Well, I'm going to the AFC Championship game on Sunday, and I was wondering if you guys were doing it for this week.
We're not. Sorry.
Good try, though. Yeah. I appreciate the effort.
No, good.
Can't hurt to ask.
It cannot. It cannot.
I was just wondering.
Nope. Sorry about that.
Thank
you.
All right. That's it. All right.
Bye.
That's the prize line, I guess.
That was good. So I'm going to the game. I just wonder if you had sideline passes.
Right. Hey. Can't hurt to ask. Toso from Lincoln, Rhode Island. Hey, Toso.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
Not so much. All right. I just got two quick points I want to get into. First point I want to get into is that everybody should be privileged to be a Patriots fan. Because there's been so many people talking, hating, saying, oh, yeah, the Patriots haven't won in so long. But what other team has been this relevant for a decade and a half? Super Bowl contenders. And this year, I feel like, is probably our best shot that we have. So I just feel like everyone, even the haters, should all suck a fat one and just realize that the Patriots are the best team to ever touch the NFL.
Whoa. They're up there.
You guys don't feel that way?
They're
up there.
I do think
they're absolutely.
There. I don't think it's a open and close type book.
Yeah, I mean, I put the Steelers up there, you know, with what they've done over the decades. But they're up there. The Patriots are up there.
But there are very few fan bases that can cast stones in the last. You know, the Colts have an argument based on what the consistency they've put forth. Steelers with a couple titles and pretty good consistency. There's a few, but the Patriots are at the top of that list.
Sure.
Yeah, because the Patriots, like, you think they're going to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year every single year, and you should be right because they're that good.
Yeah.
And second of all.
Well, just because you're a Patriots fan and you think that doesn't mean that it's actually true.
It's been wrong for a decade.
I mean, because you just answered your own question. You've thought that the last 10 years, and yet you've been wrong.
No, but they've had a chance.
No, every one of those years they haven't.
After he's done, remind me, I have something to say.
Okay.
A second point I want to bring up is this year definitely reminds me of the 94 season with the San Francisco 49ers. How that in the offseason they brought in prime time. And they got a couple of other guys on that defense, and it just had a whole different mindset and attitude on that team. And that literally propelled them past Dallas in the AFC Championship, I mean NFC Championship, and then to the Super Bowl. Like, I just feel like that this is like the same kind of year, like new identity, everyone's revamped. Tom Brady has a chip on his shoulder and wants to prove everybody wrong, and this is our year. Like, yeah. I was kind of worried with the Baltimore game, but I knew we were going to win that game. And I just feel like it doesn't matter who we play in the Super Bowl. Like, I feel like we're going to win.
The only problem with your new feel and is the Ravens game. Everybody was agreeing the defense was great and the defense was going to be like equal partnership in the Super Bowl.
He knew they were going to win. You didn't listen.
But see, you fixate on the dumb stuff. And we all...
I fixate on the call. I'm not trying to make fun of the caller. I'm trying to fixate on what he said.
I know, but his point was accurate a week ago. His point kind of fell flat on Saturday night.
I know, but for him, it didn't fall flat because he didn't feel like that.
See, now you're holding him to his word.
I'm not... You're kind of making fun of him. I'm not.
No, I'm not. I'm
he
making...
still feels the same way.
I know all Patriots fans do.
No, I'm trying I don't think Fred does.
I'm trying
I don't
to
think
get
Fred
past
feels the same way he did last week.
You know, fanaticism and get because I actually agreed with his point until the Ravens game. Then the defense.
I was shaken. I have to admit,
it's hard to argue, but it's the same old Patriots. They had to score to win.
But Toso wasn't. I don't mean that as any kind of.
Like I said, for once, I went into the playoffs with a defense that can win me a game, and
it
kind of didn't.
It couldn't, and it didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll bounce back.
And so now I'm back to, geez, Brady's got to have another great game.
Because you have a chance this week, because this is a good high-scoring offense that you're facing.
Yep.
So you have a chance to sort of get your swag back or whatever, but I can't just assume it because my most recent example doesn't fall in line with the narrative.
Right. Plus, I'd be interested to see what the Patriots offense does.
More importantly.
Because if the Patriots offense scores 40 again the way they do against Indy every other time, then I'm still not going to necessarily be...
Right. Now you're back to offense worry-free
about the defense.
Right.
More importantly, Toso, I think, wrote a book. Because my son went to the library yesterday, brought home a Patriots book. It was actual propaganda. Hitler would have been proud. I mean, the first chapter was about... It's about the greatness of the New England Patriots and everything. The first chapter is... The Patriots are a team that doesn't try to dominate the game. They let the game play out because they know they're smarter than the opposition, and they keep it close enough so that their smarts can...
I mean,
this is literally the first chapter of an actual hardcover, youth-level Patriots book.
Now, what was the idea... what exactly were you thinking when you wrote that, Fred?
Well, it was an edit letter, and I had to get it done.
But it was, I mean, it felt
That's
like
funny.
Propaganda.
That is funny.
Because then it gets into, like, other chapters are about, you know, they had great players, but they never get over the hump, and they list people, and then Brady comes along, and they win, and all that. I'm fine with, but like the lead chapter was about they're smarter. They don't try to beat people up. They wait and let the game play out because wow. their smartness will come out. And I'm like, what are you? And like it had the whole next man up thing. There was a paragraph on,
really?
You know, other places injuries happen. But because the Patriots aren't built around superstars, they have the philosophy of the next man up. And he comes in and always does the job. And I'm like, who wrote this?
Friend. Tony in Michigan says, can you send me a picture or email me one for Kat in Chicago? I may have to propose to her if she's single.
No, she is not single.
She is not single, happily married, although maybe not as happy as once, you know, was the case based on how long her
house crashers or whatever.
House rehab has been going on.
Okay. Let's go back to the phone. Eric just walked in. Steve in Virginia. Hey, Steve.
Now we walk back in.
Hey, guys.
Good morning. Play-by-play.
Hey. Yeah. First off, Ray Lewis's thought processes and sentence structure are right in line with his pregame dances,
right?
Which were spastic at best.
Wait, I kind of thought those were cool.
Yeah.
I thought his right. comments were the opposite end of cool.
Yeah. Well, I think his thought processes are out the one. Anyway, it's going to be wet. The ball's going to be wet. What do you guys see on the running end of the game?
Well, you do have a guy in LeGarrette Blount who has some fumbling concerns historically, but had a lot of success in the rain last year.
His
so
two best games ever.
Right.
Back-to-back in monsoons, right?
I'm not going to assume fumbles. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And now I will say they shouldn't put the ball on the ground because the bounce, the luck of the bounce, they may have used up last week. So
right.
they might want to keep possession of the ball as often as possible.
That's true.
Now, do you think they'll go to all three guys?
I think they're going to start with Blount. I think Blount gets the first choice because I hear everybody say, you know, you got to give Jonas Gray the carries because what he did against the Colts.
That's not how I sound.
But what about what Blount did against the Colts in the playoffs? In the same type of situation, them coming to you for a playoff game, Blount kicked ass and took names.
And just continuing our update of what's been going on, Jonas Gray removed from the injury report. And now, in terms of practice today, I didn't see anything on Twitter, Eric, so I'm...
Eric's here. Thanks for the call,
Brian
Steve.
Stork remains
once
out.
Again the only player not out there.
Okay.
So on the game field again.
If Jonas Gray does not play this week, and I heard someone say something yesterday that they heard that he was dealing with a high ankle sprain.
Oh yeah.
Well, if he was, then that would be surprising to me that they removed him from the list altogether this week.
Okay.
I would expect him to be active and get some carries.
Yes. Let's go to Colin in Baltimore. Hey, Colin.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
He's Colin from Baltimore.
Wow. Yeah. That's funny, Andy.
Thanks.
Hey, guys, have you heard the news from Baltimore?
No. Tell it to us.
It's pretty bad here. You know, it turns out that the... Whoa. Sorry, I've got to get away from the window here. You know, Ray Lewis was really right. Because society is, like, broken down now. I mean, you have no idea the evil that is on the streets. Can you hear?
Yeah.
I hear gunshot fire, yes.
Yeah. It doesn't stop. I mean, I got to be honest, I've seen some cannibalism. You know, it's
zombies.
Really out of control.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
I always liked the Inner Harbor. That's too
wait,
bad.
Wait a minute. Wait, guys, I'm going to my window right now. It's Terrell Suggs. He's eating Chris Collinsworth. Terrell Suggs has that. Al Michaels is trying to fight him off, but no, he ate Chris Collinsworth.
Oh, well.
He ate him. He's dead.
Thanks, Colin.
He went off script. Al Michaels
Colin,
was trying
on the
to
scene
help,
in Baltimore where it's a war zone. It's an absolute war zone. And speaking of war zones, Brady admitted today that he was actually poked in the eye after the whistle. You know, in one of those plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why he had the little whatever that's called.
Broken
blood vessel.
We talked about that.
No,
yesterday.
The blood in the eye.
Yeah. What was it? Who was the guy
who
said
he went
did it?
Spastic on the guy?
Well, he was yelling at McPhee, right?
It was one of the defensive linemen, I think, that did it.
He was yelling at McPhee.
Pernell McPhee?
But yeah. I don't know which one actually did it. He should wear a visor.
That's a good
those
idea.
Eyes.
What do you got, Eric?
Those are gold.
Like I said, Stork, the only guy. I talked to Jamie Collins a little bit in the locker room today.
Okay.
Rarity. For him to even be in there, but a couple of us went down there.
Protecting the old wallet.
He was there. Thinking with the wallet, making sure he didn't get fined for being absent during championship week. People tend to notice those
things. He didn't make a big deal about his arrival, but we spotted him, went down there. He talked for a little bit. He's a nice kid.
I love him.
He doesn't have really great answers to a lot of things, but in a smaller setting, he was a lot better than I remember him being in the bigger.
If you get him group. In a one-on-one, two-on-one type setting, some of his personality, some of his inherent cockiness will occasionally come out, that confidence. That is all squashed, and I think in the group setting, he's just thinking, don't say anything stupid, don't get in trouble, you're not good enough yet to get in trouble. I really think it's fear. We talk about it with Stork, A-hole or fear, Collins, you know, some of these guys. Collins, I think, falls under the fear factor.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. So it was nice to just actually see him in there and to get to talk to him for a few minutes. So
plus, you know, a year ago, breakout performance.
Yes, against Kobe Fleener.
Andrew Luck. Right.
So next year, do you go and you try to extend Collins right now?
You can't.
Not wait?
You can't do it
legally.
Yet.
You can't?
Until after the third year.
Yeah.
Oh, after the third year?
After the
guys
year.
You'd be starting to think about are Jones and Hightower.
Okay.
If you want to extend them. That was a big story on Grantland. I didn't read it, but it was about Hightower and Collins and kind of how they've built this core of young linebackers, playmakers, and how that helps you be a good defense because it's cheap. It's kind of the Russell Wilson thing. You're not paying Clay Matthews or somebody $50 million because you got these playmakers that are rookie deal type people.
Yep. PhD Peter writes in, I had some thoughts on the Fred-Andy debate about whether you want to play and beat a challenging team or a tomato can. I found myself agreeing with both of you. If we had a powder puff path to another ring, I'd take it happily. But my favorite Super Bowl run was 04 when we held the number one Colts offense to 3 points and hung 41 on the Steelers, the number one Steelers defense. It still makes me smile. It's really all about the timing. I hated the anxiety leading up to last week's matchup, but now I'm loving the hard-fought victory. That's why you're both right. Fred is worried about the future while Andy is savoring the past. Andy, you really want a tough opponent in the future if you can beat them. So really, you're enjoying a future past. As for a tough schedule, I think you guys were talking about the 72 Dolphins schedule and how easy it was. In 07, while the Patriots were making their run, you heard a lot of Miami chirping that it was an easy schedule. So I did a little data analysis.
I don't believe you heard anybody chirping about the Patriots having an easy schedule in 07. They had a very difficult one.
I looked at every team's schedule in the Super Bowl era, 1,194 of them by 2007. The 72 Dolphins had the third easiest schedule out of 1,194. In fact, many Super Bowl champs are clumped at the very top of the list. The 99 Rams had the second easiest schedule. The 70 Colts had the fifth easiest schedule. The 07 Patriots were about 20% down the list. And if you took out the 16 losses they handed their opponents that year, the opponents were an even 500
love that one.
Against everyone else. This year's Patriots opponents were 51%. If we win at all, that will be tied with the second hardest schedule for a champ, ironically tied with the 07 Giants. Bottom line is, most Super Bowl champs have easier schedules, so maybe Fred is right after all. Send in the powder puffs.
All right.
That's a lot of work he did.
Yeah, but
how did he look at like 1,100 schedules?
Yeah, I don't know how he did it, and I'll take his word for it. But the 07 Patriots had a tough schedule, and no one said that was an easy schedule when it was happening at the time. That was what made it all the more impressive. They played against some different. I mean, the Cowboys had a 13-3 year that year. The Giants ended up being the Super Bowl champ. They played the Colts in the regular season. They played the
Colts were like 9-0, weren't they? Wasn't that
like
a 9-0?
They were undefeated. They were both undefeated in mid to late November when they played San Diego early on in that year. Remember, San Diego was coming off a 14-2 year with Phillip Rivers and LaDainian Tomlinson still in their in their prime. They played them in week two and eviscerated them. That was a very tough schedule that the Patriots had that year, and they've had a very tough schedule this year.
Yeah, we don't need to wait. We know, and we talked about it all year, with the not only the big ones, the Packers, the Colts, the Broncos, but even, the Bengals game. That was a playoff team. You blew them out, and you forget at times whether that was a good win or a bad win, depending on what the Bengals have done in, the last three games.
Yeah, that's why
it's a playoff win.
And that's an example of not necessarily needing to wait, because Cincinnati did get worse down the stretch when they got hit by injuries. But at the time that you played them, they were very talented and they were very formidable, and you made them look bad.
Yeah, I think
that was a great win.
That counts, I think, when you're at the time, what is one team doing and what is another team?
3-0 bye week or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, there are examples where you beat a team in week four that you know, Atlanta last year, that you think is good, and they just didn't end up being good.
Right.
But that's not what happened to Cincinnati. They weren't quite as good as you thought they were, but they were still pretty good, and then they got hit by injuries, and they weren't as tough at the end of the year. But, you know, Atlanta just stunk. We thought they were good, but they weren't.
Do you think Mike Carey will ever peel that fake bald head off and reveal who he really is? He looks like a guy in a movie wearing a fake bald head.
Do you think he'll ever get a rule correct?
Which will come first?
He'll be doing this job next year? And the answer is no.
Well, how about this injury?
No.
This industry, though. Every single broadcast you watch or listen to has a rules expert, a former official rule. Like even
that's a new thing.
But some
random
of them are,
college
some
football
of them are good.
Games on radio. No, no. But I'm not like think of how like these guys were all just retired, and all of a sudden this industry popped up where whoa, Fox wants to pay me how much to do what?
Yeah.
Or CBS Radio or Westwood One.
Great
or,
gig.
You know what? You know what it speaks to? How ill-informed most of the guys are that are broadcasting the games, and they needed to have somebody corrected at the time rather than have these guys make fools of themselves.
Johnny in L.A. writes, and I swear to God, every time you guys approach a game like here's, there's absolutely no chance the Patriots could lose this one. They either lose it or it's a nail-biter. Could you please at least lie to us listeners and pretend that you think they're in for a struggle?
No. I'm planning my Super Bowl week
right
now.
I just have way too much respect for you guys. I can't do that. Can't lie.
Okay.
Just too much respect.
That reminds me of the South Park last night where Cartman did something which actually brought peace to the Middle East, but he lied to do it, and he's like, you're right, I should tell the truth. And all the others like, the first time in your life you're going to tell the truth and blow up peace in the Middle East.
Let's see. This is Pete from Surrey, England. Tried to call for the first time, but something wasn't working for me. You guys must be busy. Wanted to draw your attention to the Wilson Hart Power Rankings. Sorry to stroke Andy's ego. Green Bay, ooh, Seattle, Indy, and the Patriots. It doesn't take Sesame Street to tell us that one of these things isn't like the other.
Oh, yeah.
The Colts were 10th to the end of the season, up from 15th the week before. The other three were the top three teams. Okay, you can lose any game in the league, but there's no way you can logically predict that we'll lose to them this week. Ignoring that the Colts are an average team and we are one of the best, you also have the fact that we're matched up well against them one-on-one in recent games. Sometimes particular teams cause problems for others regardless of their respective quality, like the Ravens for us, but this isn't one of those times. I can't wait to listen to you guys broadcasting from Glendale.
Well, you know, the Wilson Hart Power Index gets it done.
All right. Let's take a break at this point. We have a lot of callers hanging on. We have a lot of emails coming in. We have to get to picks way at the end because there's only two games. We don't have to hurry. But more importantly, food's here, so we'll be right back.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monumental flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson. Was it a fight or were you being
No, what bored? Happens was we would always have there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. Which
yep, me too.
Which you couldn't call
so
today.
We played.
And then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, oh, you guys are pussies playing that game.
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then.
It's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, oh, who's the pussy now? So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came, you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, say that again. I'm like, who's the pussy now? And he punched me in the jaw, you know, and I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
so
him,
he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you, just because he said it twice doesn't mean he was okay.
And now. I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
All right. Welcome back to PFW in Progress. We're talking everything AFC Championship, the Colts. Nobody here thinks the Patriots are going to lose. Some of us think that it's going to be a little tougher than others, but everyone's on board here. So we're taking your calls and emails, webradio at patriots.com for the emails, 508-298-03. What's the number again?
98. You just needed a 98.
298-0398.
You couldn't finish.
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know. Sometimes I have Alzheimer's or something.
Post-lunch coma?
Yeah, we had a little tailgate today for the media.
Yeah. Vegas. Hamburgers and steak fries, I guess you call those.
Ground Colt burgers.
Right.
Fred said.
Well, save that cheesecake, that carrot cake for me.
Damn you.
Let's see. Who writes this in? Boston sports fan literally spit out my water at Fred's Buffalo comment. The reason Patriots fans hate the Bills the least is because they have never been a threat. The ownership should have gone after an offensive-minded coach, however. With Rex, I think their defense could be absolutely dominant. And P.S., hey, Ray, yeah, Brady got away with fumbling, but you got away with murder, so there.
It's true, though. Like, he lives in this glass house that is being held up by toothpicks, and he throws this bomb, and he doesn't think that's what he's going to get back?
Right. Let's see. Laurent writes in, Fred, do not be fooled by Bills fans. I was at Ralph Wilson Stadium, and some Bills fans harassed a little Pats fan, and the father and security stepped in. Most Bill fans are cocky haters.
Oh, we've heard of that almost every year.
We experience that when we drive into the stadium with the convoy.
But there's been lawsuits and fights and brutal reports of brutal situations.
The first time I ever was at a Bills game, it was in the winter. And you know how it's not a direct route from where the buses leave us off to the press box? You kind of have to know your way around.
Right.
You have to go through the crowd at some point. So, again, this is my first time there, and it's after the game, and I'm trying to get back down to where the locker rooms and the buses are, and I get lost. I end up in the stands, literally, and right where the team comes, right where the buses are. So I'm close, but I can't get down there, and there's fights going on all around me. So I start making my way down the stands to the wall, and there's these cops down there, and I yell to the cop, "I'm coming over the wall!" And he goes to me, goes, "Okay, but there's a door right over there."
Here's the best stories.
But it was like Escape from the Bronx. You know, there's all this mayhem going
I'm
on all
over.
Over
the wall.
The best part about Fred's stories is, first of all, he's a good storyteller.
Yes.
But he also doesn't tell the same one. I've worked with Fred for 16 seasons. I've never heard that story. He doesn't tell the same ones over and over.
Not like
some people we work with.
Like so many others do.
But I'll never forget that. Because I literally didn't know how to get out of there. And I said, the only way I'm going to get over there is to jump this wall. And I'm coming over the wall. And the cop just was like, okay. So there's a door right there.
This must have been like in the mid-90s when they were still, Bills were still.
This is 95.
Pretty good.
95, yeah.
That's awesome.
I will say, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to break my own rule. I'm pretty sure I have said this in the past. When I used to go to road games, I went to the Meadowlands every year for the Jets game, and I also was at the Meadowlands for Giants, went out to San Diego. I've been to road games. One year, the year that they played the Jets on New Year's Eve, Fred, the last game of the year, we said we didn't want to go to the Jets, so we went to Buffalo. And it was far and away the worst atmosphere that we've ever been in. In terms of being a road fan, we didn't really feel safe. We thought that we were going to, we were getting stuff thrown at us, getting yelled at. And Buffalo was good, but the Patriots were good, too. It wasn't like, they were in the Jim Kelly days of the four straight Super Bowl runs, and the Patriots were terrible, and they were mocking us. Just really classless. And it was the worst treatment that I can remember being, with my Patriots stuff on, wishing that I didn't wear all my Patriots stuff because I thought we were going to get killed.
Right. Aaron writes in, I've heard people make excuses for Lewis in that he's not mad at Brady, but the plethora of NFL rules, however, I disagree. Lewis is salty over the Patriots' overall success and on the heels of Baltimore's loss in Foxborough, and this tuck rule venom is coming from the same Ray who sang Brady's praises when NFL players unanimously named the league MVP back in 2011. A bit of double talk there, Ray, I think so. And did you guys hear about Marshall Faulk? Because he had the tape jab at Belichick on Saturday NFL morning last week, and Rich Eisen reminded him that his mic's on. It was unbelievable.
No, I didn't.
Hear about that.
I didn't hear about it.
Kiss the Rings, Ray and Marshall. They hate us because they ain't us. And Cat, you rock.
Does anybody even care what somebody like Marshall Faulk says, knowing just how completely biased he is? Does anybody really care?
I don't think anybody cares about Marshall Faulk. I didn't think Ray Lewis was in that category, but he might be trending in that category.
This particular shot was just so asinine that I don't really even think it deserves. And it didn't get as much reaction as and I was glad for that.
Because it's stupid.
Because it's that's what I'm saying. It was so stupid that I think that most people chose to stay away from it.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. No one has a reaction to that? No? Eric's eating, so he... let's go to the phones. Matt's in Houston. You know, hey, Matt.
Godly diddly doodly didn't stay away from it, but most people chose to stay away from
it. Who's godly diddly doodly?
Dale Arnold.
Oh.
He's really upset about it.
What's up, Matt?
Oh, it's good, man. Just had a statement and a question and a prediction for you guys.
Okay.
All right. My statement first is, you know, glad to be on Patriots Radio. I called in last week and announced the birth. My wife was pregnant.
Oh, yes, with child. Yes, yeah. With child. How's that going? Okay.
Matt? Oh, he's gone. Okay. Okay. I don't know if he hung up or what.
His 1800 cell phone crackled.
All of a sudden, the momentum of the show just kind of screeched to a halt.
That's your fault.
You're the host. Post-lunch.
Let's go to Darius in London. Hey, Darius.
Poor Fred.
Evening, your guys. How's it going?
Good.
Guy lost his cell coverage. That's your fault, Fred.
What was that?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Okay. Quick thing from me. I know you got a lot of calls, so I'll let you crack on quickly. But the only thing I'm concerned about really this weekend is if we start slow again. I called into the post-game show on the weekend and I touched on it, but for me it's really starting to become a problem. I mean, what do you think we can do to come out of the traps a little bit quicker, so to speak? Because it seems to be a trend that's starting to drag on a little bit, and I'm not too keen on them. On it continuing simply because of the fact that, you know, you get yourself in 14-point holes too much.
Yeah.
And sometimes the 14 points could become 21 points, and then you're really screwed. So
you play with fire, you're going to get burned eventually.
And both of these teams dabble with fire,
yeah,
digging holes. Andrew Luck does that. And I don't know if that helps you. Maybe you dig the hole, and then he helps you dig out of the hole by digging his own hole or something. But, I mean, we've talked about it. The most obvious play to start the game is a play-action pass. Because you know the Colts are being pounded into them. You got to stop the run. And maybe they're frothing at the mouth to come up and stop the run. You put it in Blunt's belly. You pull it out. And
but
put
if
it
it's so obvious
hand.
To do that, you know
I
they
know,
won't. It's
I
just,
know.
You know, it's the you know that we know that you know thing. Well,
that's why I said throw to Fleming instead of Gronk.
But that's what it all comes down to.
You'll never see that.
What Indy is going to decide to do. I think it's
Solder. I would trust Solder.
It's rational to go into the game with a defensive game plan of trying to stop the run.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that. I would invite the run and just hope that I play better against the run. Because if you don't, what Andy is talking about is going to—they'll get eviscerated a lot quicker,
yeah,
and more and more systematically.
You can't instead play worse being, than they did against.
Instead
the
of
run.
Being 14-10 at the half, if you go out there and you play run, Brady's not just going to run into that. He's going to throw it all over you, and you're going to end up being down by a lot more than 14-10 at the half.
Anything else, Darius? Calling all the way from London. I want to give you your time here.
No, that's fair enough. Appreciate it. I know that there was a bit of an argument going on with Kat and one of the PFW guys. I think it was Edwin. But
right.
I want to give a shout-out to PFW Elite. They're, in my opinion, best Patriots forum out there. Not all the guys on there are clowns. I know Kevin said it earlier. Obviously, they've got some, but every forum has. But just hoping for a good one this weekend. I've got Monday booked off work, so I'll be up all night.
Nice.
Zolak says, who needs sleep?
Right.
Losers.
Sleep is my loser.
And, that's all I got. I hope
Wait.
You guys have a good one.
Darius, are you the guy with the beer shed?
No, that was Adam. And that was Adam in Ireland. I was the one who called afterwards and said that you talked yourself out of a lunch by choosing him first. But
yes, that's right. Yeah. I knew you were involved in that.
Now, Andy, you'll be pleased to know that I've given my details to Kevin, so I'm going to get you guys lunch somewhere down the line.
Nice. Awfully nice of you.
I love you,
All right,
Brits.
Darius,
Good
thanks
on
for
you,
calling
mate.
In.
But, yeah, the Adam guy, was whatever he was talking about, he keeps his beer in a shed, and he was talking about going out to the shed to get his – I just thought that was so, like, cool. It's typical Ireland. I got a dirt, probably dirt-floored shed where I keep my beer cold.
Oh, hey.
The potatoes, too.
Never works.
Drew from North Carolina, who's a wicked big Pats fan. although I was born and raised in North Carolina, I've been a Patriots fan since 1995 when I met my best friend Dan. His family was from the Boston area, and just from spending time with him, I was hooked from the beginning. I think the Patriots are wicked good. Did I do that right? I have never traveled to the New England area, and I hope to someday. My question is, having never been to a home Patriots game, what makes Foxborough such a difficult place to play? You see and hear the obvious reasons of the Seahawks and Chiefs stadiums, but just wondering about Foxborough, other than that, guys, I feel confident about this weekend. It's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
That's what I was going to say.
Right.
I'm with you. Patriots are good.
Yep. And I think, you know, it makes it better for those guys because of the familiarity they have and everything, but it's because of Tom Brady. We don't have that noise advantage that some other stadiums have. Although I will say that was the loudest and most raucous I've seen the stadium since it opened.
And the players would agree with you.
Last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you
the
get
press
mad
box
at,
was moving.
Yeah, it was literally moving.
I didn't
care
for that. Do you get mad at the crowd when Brady has to give them the quiet down sign?
I don't get mad.
No, I'm just wondering where that fits with you and who decided to put him on TV.
Are those fake glasses?
Unless he's a Make-A-Wish guy, and I apologize if he is, whose dream was to be on NFL Network. Who green-lighted him to go on air?
I don't know.
That guy has a face for radio.
Okay. Trolls in Trolls in Thee says, greetings from the Danish countryside, even though I like the new pro-Patriots Eric, emphasis on the new. I have to correct his pronunciation of Copenhagen from yesterday's show. Fred actually said it right the first time. Most of us Danes cringe when Americans pronounce our capital as if they were speaking English with an Austrian accent, Hagen, just like Eric did yesterday. But we know you're just trying to be nice.
No, I didn't. I'm
sure
you did.
You're just trying to be nice, and I, for one, appreciate the intentions. So thank you.
And this gentleman is saying that that's incorrect.
Okay.
He appreciates the effort, though.
But he appreciates the effort. Thank you for your service.
Now is not the time. Do you remember when we had, like, the whole show on what good has ever come out of Danish? And we went down the list of things.
And you were calling them Danemarkians?
I don't remember. I remember the first part. I don't remember you calling them Danemarkians.
Yeah, he goes, what do you call people from Denmark? Danemarkians?
Danish.
such idiots.
I'm sorry. I don't remember calling anybody a Danemarkian.
Let's see. Ryan from Beantown. Hey, everyone. Thanks for making my week better. Excited to take it to the Colts this weekend. And by the way, Fred, Green Bay has a 30% chance, and the Colts have a 20% chance. You are nuts. Injured Rodgers is still better than the Colts. Anyway, I see Rex going strong after Manning to generate a two-headed, beastly beat Brady boner. Fun for the league, and even better.
There's a less than 0% chance of Peyton Manning going to Buffalo.
And even better for the Patriots to dominate. Let's hope the football gods deliver this delicious dish. 38-24 Patriots comfortable win.
That guy worked for Channel 7?
I joked about that.
A lot of alliteration there.
On the playbook, I said the only thing better than hiring Rex this week would be if Peyton decides he wants to play again and go to Buffalo.
He couldn't do it.
No, I know he couldn't, but we're just thinking about it just for fun's sake.
There's games that are hard to throw in, like, late September.
Right.
In Buffalo.
Pat Nagel.
Oh, by the way, did you see the Herald today?
Did not.
Kind of.
I don't get that no more.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Playing the very pro-Patriot side. They had multiple stories about basically Andrew Luck's not as good as everybody thinks he is.
Of course he's not.
And, you know, the Patriots are going to take advantage of all the mistakes he made. If his name were Andy Dalton, the whole narrative would be different. Like, there were both Howe and Gariggi, and both had stories.
If his name were Andy Dalton.
Jeff had, like, a whole lead-in. No, Jeff had, like, this whole lead-in, like, if Andy Dalton did what Andrew Luck did, played like him, people would rip him, but he's Andrew Luck. I don't know. I didn't.
Are these guys looking for extra credentials? What's going on?
Andrew Luck's won playoff games.
Yeah.
And Andrew Luck throws for, like, a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns.
How do you not look at what Andrew Luck does with that team? You know, we all say we're making excuses for Brady early. He doesn't have the people around him. Well, look at the Colts and what Luck has done so early in his career. He's off to the fastest start of any quarterback in history. Well, I think Russell Wilson, I think, might be beating him. But other than, you know.
In terms of a record?
No, in terms of, touchdowns and yards.
No way does he get more touchdowns and yards than Andrew Luck.
Well, no, Wilson has the highest rating, quarterback rating,
in history. That could be true.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Luck's rating, the rating actually wasn't good, but he's gone up like 10 or
10
15 points
every
year.
It was
70. It's very like.
It went from like 75 boom. To 85 to 96 or look, something like that.
Look, I'm the guy who discovered Jonas Gray. I'm the guy who discovered Robbie Gould. Andrew Luck's going to be pretty good.
This Luck guy can play.
Fred's right about the guy taken first overall in the draft.
Who Bill Belichick said is going to like rewrite the league for the next decade.
You watch him. Keep your eye on this guy. Pat from Agawam. Good afternoon, guys. Another year, another AFC championship game. No big thing. I'm generally not the contrarian when it comes to my Patriots. In fact, quite the contrary. That being said, I don't think the Colts are getting the respect of a team coming off a road win in Denver in the NFL playoffs deserve. I know Peyton was and is a shell of himself, and it was probably really stupid to throw almost 50 times. Still, the odds makers and prognosticators were all picking the Broncos to win big. Didn't happen. Luck made a few boneheaded throws, but his line held its own against a pretty good Broncos front. If we're unable to get at least a little pressure, at least a couple of timely sacks, I'd be a little bit worried. They have the confidence of winning a road game in an intimidating environment, and every year, Luck's gotten a little bit better in the postseason. I don't expect the Colts to come in and win in our house, but I do think they keep it close. I think he's going to make some plays here on Sunday. Maybe there was a reason Akeem Ayers didn't play a lot last week, but I'd like to see him more involved in passing situations. He's not Von Miller by any stretch, but I think he's been pretty good, been a pretty good player maker here since coming from the Titans. In the end, I don't think the Colts have an answer for Gronk. Considering what happened the last time they met, I think he has another big game this week, and we actually run the ball Sunday and stay balanced. My official prediction is 28-21. Patriots, wow. And we're on to Arizona to play Seattle.
28-21. That's a decent score.
Do I have to stick to my 27-20 that I predicted a month ago for the Patriots to win the AFC title game? I don't feel like that's
really
appropriate
now. You
don't
have to, no. No.
You know, Gronk didn't have a huge game in the Colts game.
No, he had a few big
first
plays.
Time around.
Yeah.
He had one big play.
Yeah.
Right. Really, yeah. At the end of the game when it was a blowout.
Right.
Because after he got pissed at Sergio Brown.
Right.
He set Paul off.
Yeah.
That set Gronk off, and then that set Paul off.
The touchdown wasn't what set Paul. We don't need to go back to that.
All right.
You're just going to keep saying you hate Gronk.
Because he was throwing punches in the game. That bothered me.
All right, let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Balarco from L.A. is on the line. Hey, Balarco.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Okay. Like, I wrote an email, but you can ignore that. But I really have to address this cat in Chicago situation.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm not going to go the route Edwin went and call her name, but she's the last person I'm going to sympathize with, to be very honest. Because, we all have problems with Amendola's contract. That's not the problem. The problem is that she pretty much called him a bum the whole time. Like, oh, he has never had any talent. Which is not true, because in St. Louis, he played with subpar quarterback, did what he can do. And so, at the end of the day, when you call someone a bum and he produces, some people are going to have some reactions over that.
Well, yeah, but when she calls him a bum, she always backs it up. She always says why. She backs it up with facts. She doesn't call people who doesn't say he's a bum, she doesn't tell them to go F themselves.
Oh, that's why I said I'm not going to go that far.
And that's all she's saying. That's all she's saying.
But the problem is that when she calls her a bum, and then she defends herself by saying that she has a problem with her contract. No, no, no. Her problem with Amendola goes way beyond the contract. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. That's fair.
That's her opinion, and she doesn't think he's very good. I mean, that's her opinion. I think she states it pretty clearly.
But I'm just saying that, like, you know, when you're outspoken, some people are going to come after you. When you have such extreme
right,
opinion.
So come at her. What she's saying is, come at her all you want. With what did she say? Come at me correct. I think is how she put it.
Yeah,
come
I disagree
correct.
With her.
Don't just like, you know, call her names. Say why you think that she's wrong.
I disagree too, but you know, she's one of us.
Next
just
year
like
you won't.
Balarco, you're one of us.
When he's released
Edwin's
on March 15th.
One of us. We don't do that to each other.
That I agree with.
You know, that's all. That's all.
And also, when it comes to, I actually had a question about Vince Wilfork. Do you think that he has lost that strength and speed?
I don't think he's lost his strength. I don't know about his speed. I don't think I mean, I feel like a couple of weeks ago we were talking about how he finished the season strong, and him getting healthy and the rust off from early in the year was why the run defense.
Big part of the run defense.
One bad game, and he's done.
You mentioned something that was interesting. I hadn't thought about it.
It works the other way. Amendola had one good game, and he's a star now.
You know, about looking out for the cut blocks, and maybe it was, you know, maybe it was just a, you know, something, you know, an anomaly for that particular game. But yeah, I hadn't seen him get pushed around like he did that game.
I mean, as I said, we were praising him.
Yeah.
It seems like ever since he's been injured, like he had to lose some weight. And I just feel like after he lost some weight, maybe like he's not that prototypical nose tackle that he used to be.
Did you watch him jog off in slow motion the other day?
I'm not sure he lost any weight. I'm not sure he's lost anything.
He found it again.
Oh, well. But yeah, it just feels like because there is no pressure from the inside, Ninko and Chandler can't do much.
Yeah, he's never been a big pressure from the inside guy. That's why they've been looking for that for a long time. They've been looking for
he never was baby sap.
They've been looking for these interior pass rushers like Armand Armstead.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That was his nickname at the U. Yep.
And they
asked
him to be
Jonathan Finene, Armand Armstead, you know, maybe the latest one was Dominic Easley in the first round. They've been looking for an interior type pass rusher for a long time. Vince has really never been that guy.
No, the only guy that's ever been that guy for a short stretch was Chris Jones. Remember when he had like 5 sacks in like 4 games?
Yeah.
You know who I feel bad about?
And he had 5 sacks in 20 games?
Who I thought had a future in being that spot rusher was Mike Wright. I really thought he had the athletic ability and speed and size that he could do things like that. And
sad story.
Yeah.
He wasn't an every down kind of player, but he was good when he was called upon.
He had that kind of athletic ability with the size and speed that I thought he can do some stuff, but he never.
And he never got a role. Like, I always wondered with him if they had asked him to just do one thing, you know, the opposite of what they do.
I don't do that.
But he had to cover kickoffs at 300 pounds. He had to be ready to back up Vince as, like, a true nose tackle, but be a pass rusher, play some end. Like, I felt like he was being torn in multiple directions because he was a unique athlete, because he was big and fast and athletic. I wondered if they had just said, we want you to be a third down interior rusher, could he, beyond the concussions, could he have done more?
Right.
And then the concussions ended it.
Brad in Maine writes, and apparently Ray Lewis isn't the only sore loser. Hines Ward is talking a little trash, too. He said on TV, and I'm quoting directly, I'm rooting for the Colts because I'm sick of the Patriots are the best storyline. If you're getting paid to, and handsomely, I'm sure, analyze football, keep your personal nonsense to yourself. I've got news for both of those clowns. In the past 15 years, the Patriots have been arguably the best or one of the best teams consistently. Let them hate all they want. It will make another Super Bowl win that much sweeter.
How can you say something and analyze something without your personal thoughts and opinions?
Well, but you can't be so blatant about it.
Why?
Because now it tinges everything you say.
If the Patriots were the better story and they said, I root for the Patriots because it's a better story, you'd be okay with it. Patriots were the better story in 01.
And I'm going to take on what he said was the quote. And what the quote was, I'm rooting for the Colts because
I'm sick of the Patriots.
I don't have any problem with that at all. Did he analyze the game and say the Colts are better than the Patriots? That I would have a problem with. I'm rooting for the Colts. I have no issue with. He's coming out and he's telling you what he's rooting for. Now, you could make an argument saying, to the guy's point, to the emailer's point, I forget his name, I don't really care what you're rooting for. I'm paying you, I'm listening to you to hear what your opinions are on who will win the game and why. What do the matchups tell you, and what does your expert opinion tell you who will win the game, not who you're rooting for? That's one of those things that always drives me crazy when guys say, who do you like in the Super Bowl in, like, you know, week 16 or like the first round of the playoffs? Well, you know, start of the year, I said Green Bay and New England, so I got to stick with it.
That's what I'm doing.
You know, well,
even if Green Bay and New England didn't make the playoffs, so I'm sticking with it. They're going to make it.
Do you still think Green Bay and New England are front runners?
No.
Unfortunately. Maybe it would have been better if I said Cincinnati in San Francisco. Well, I got to stick with it. That's what I said at the beginning. Well,
that's
stupid.
San Fran didn't make the playoffs.
You know?
No, see, it's actually the opposite for me. You'll hear it later. I'm going to pick the Seahawks. But if the Packers win, I told you to start the year they'd be in the Super Bowl. I win either way.
We're quite used to that tact of waiting until after the first series of the game to determine who's going
to
win.
To get back to your point.
And be wrong.
And be wrong.
That's true. They all do it. John Gruden.
They all wait till after the first drive. No.
John Gruden through Tony Dungy, through Bill Cowher, these guys that are supposed to be the experts of all experts, especially Gruden, the fraud who goes to that little strip mall, the fired football coaches, they say stuff that Fred could say, that any Joe average.
So now I'm right. A standard for idiocy.
You guys got to see the face he's giving.
You do.
Priceless.
But they do. Am I wrong? Have you, Trent Dilfer is the only guy that tries to overthink it. Literally, all the rest just fall to the low hanging fruit. You'll hear Dungy will say something like, Brady and Belichick. Really, that's all you got for me with your 20 years in the NFL of experience? The same thing that my mother could tell you?
Yeah, so I would.
Of course, it's okay that Andy just falls back on, they got no answer for Gronk.
You do it every freaking week on film.
I know, but I don't make fun of everybody.
But
I don't make fun of everybody else for
it.
I don't make fun of people for it. I think the Brady Belichick thing is a rational thing.
I don't.
I do.
Because Brady
I don't
Belichick...
think they're better across the board in all the other spots, but they're better in those two spots. That's why they win a lot of these games.
Yeah, I just think that's such lame, low-hanging fruit that if I'm a network
exec
and I'm paying a guy $4 million a year.
No,
or
pay me 4
guys.
Cents an hour like I make now and I can say it. Okay, you got a problem. They're overpaid. I agree with you. I'm with you. I just don't think it's that dumb of an analysis to say,
yeah,
they got Brady and Belichick. That's
then
goes,
why
that
does
goes
Gruden
a long
watch
way.
All that tape if nothing matters other than the fact that they have Brady and Belichick?
It's kind of hard to overcome that.
Yeah, but I kind of agree with Andy. If you're a coach who's been in this league for decades, you should be able to provide a little bit more than just anything.
That goes with the idea. They can't win. Like, they can't come up with a game plan that'll stagnate the Patriots. That's what I want you to do to me. Give me some insight. You watch all this tape. You're up at 3 a.m. Oh, they got Brady and Belichick.
Yeah, give me something else.
Well, I've never seen
call
anybody.
It a week.
I've never seen anybody do that.
John Gruden has done it.
He just says Brady and Belichick. He says nothing.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
I've heard him say it.
I can't. I mean, I don't watch the
stuff.
Might
be after
take his word
for a long, litany of other things, and then he might say, but at the end of the day,
no.
They've got
and
Brady
I've definitely
and Belichick.
Heard Dungy well, say it.
But I haven't. I don't watch the stuff, so I can't tell you that's not all he said. But I found it hard to believe that's all they say. They don't say anything else about any matchup.
He's done it.
No.
Yes, he has.
I believe you.
It
I don't.
Have
I can't.
Left a mark
I can't tell you that
if
you're
didn't
wrong.
Do that.
Okay. All right. Sergio's in Chicago on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Sergio.
Hey.
I just
wanted to talk about I don't get why people hate the Patriots for being. The Patriots and winning so much. Because it's not like we went out and bought, a bunch of players. And, we went from trash to, gold in 1 year. It worked hard to be this good. It's not just, handed to us.
Well, they hate us because we are so perfect. And, people like to knock us down. And that's the way it is. It's a high-class problem.
Was this chapter two of your book?
I get that.
Yeah, I want to say I'm
get
scared
the
of the Colts.
Price free agent on the market.
Andrew Luck.
And he transformed the whole defense.
Throw, three interceptions and then forget
you
about
get hot?
Three, and then throw four touchdowns.
Okay. Yes, he has no conscience. He's a shooter.
Thanks,
he's a corner.
Sergio.
He moves on to the next play. He'll throw a pick and then he'll throw a touchdown. Equally, he's not Mark Sanchez who's going to go to the sideline, put his hand in his face. I just got to stop talking so much. Andrew Luck will not do that. He has no fear.
Let's see. Hamza.
Did you hear Chandler say he, the hot topic this week has been Luck's whole thing about, he congratulates the D lineman to tackle him. And I didn't know this, but apparently I've seen the video version. There was a written version, which Ninkovich was quoted in. And somebody asked Chandler Jones today, did he ever? And he said, no, I've never gotten to him. I'm hoping he's patting me on the back on lot on Sundays.
Right. Hamza in Toronto won. As long as number 12 is playing, Baltimore is now our biggest rival. Terrell Suggs and company probably have a voodoo doll of Brady that they're doing unspeakable things to as we speak. 2, Fred's ticker is in far better condition than he claims. No way is he still with us this week otherwise. Either that or some cardiologist is about to make a lot of money. 3, I am not a rational person. If I were, I would know that looking away from the screen, muting the TV, going upstairs to watch a different TV, switching from bottles to cans, taking a shower mid-game, ranting on curse words, and keeping the PVR or DVR 10 minutes behind live action have no impact in helping the Patriots win. Then again, they did win, so maybe it all worked.
Yep.
It's like that Budweiser commercial.
Right.
It's not Crazy if it works.
Yep.
4, Tom Brady, all things considered, is not bad at all. And finally, 5, I will miss Peyton Manning almost as much as Colts fans do. While Manning is my Darth Vader like any good Patriots fan, I hated to see what I saw on Sunday. If that's truly the end for him, I was sad to see it end in a chorus of boos from his own crowd. It was like Ali the last couple of years of his career. Who are you and what have you done with the legend? Brady Manning games were a privilege to watch. I was a teenager when Manning came into the league. In a strange way, watching him reach the end on Sunday was like a mortality check. Like Andy has been saying recently, you need greatness in a rival to measure your own greatness. Like Ali Frazier or Bird Magic, you wish it would never end. And if it has, I'm truly sorry to see it go. Anyway, as Bill would say, on to Indy. Let's finish it right. All right.
Well, what if they have a new Darth Vader? What if, you know, what if luck becomes this?
Oh, yeah, I mean, that'll be fine. He's just sad to see it end the way it ended.
I hate to tell it's got to end at some point.
The whole thing's coming crashing down soon. The Brady Manning, I mean, Brady's ending. You know, there's going to be change here.
Yeah, right.
Now, you may be able to sort of make it new again with Flacco or luck, but there's a lot of change coming. Get used to it.
The Colts were able to do it.
Right.
The Colts maintained relevance. Now, they were extremely lucky to do it. No pun intended. But who knows? Maybe Garoppolo's the guy. And, I mean, based on what's happened in the AFC East this past week, I don't see any reason why Garoppolo can't win division titles.
So the guy said they're doing unspeakable things to Brady's voodoo. Like, from a Ravens perspective, what's unspeakable? Well, murder's not. Beating your wife is not. Security guy trying to rape somebody. I mean, you can do anything in that organization. It's all speakable.
Okay, good.
Bleach.
What?
What did you call yourself?
Huh?
The standard of idiocy?
Yeah, I'm now the new standard of idiocy.
That's awesome. Just awesome.
Matt in Maine is calling in. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey,
long time no talk.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just calling because I'm going to a AFC Championship game on Sunday.
Nice.
Looking for field passes?
First NFL. No, I'm not looking for field passes. That'd be nice, but no. First time going to NFL game, first time going to Gillette Stadium. But I'm just calling because, personally, I want to see Revis only on T.Y. Hilton.
Yep.
I don't really want to see him on anyone else.
I think you're going to get your wish.
Burn you. Yeah. And I think it's going to be more of a standout game for Jamie Collins again. I really don't want to see anyone else but Blunt running the ball. I don't want to see any of Jonas Gray. I like Jonas Gray, but I just feel like Blunt is going to be more of the same of what it was last year.
Fred, what say you?
Response, please.
He just said he doesn't want to see Jonas Gray.
I don't want to see any of Jonas Gray. I want to see LeGarrette Blount get the carries.
What do you say, Fred?
What say you, Fred?
I have to ask Matt why.
Well, only because if you look at the situation of last year in the playoff game, I feel Blount has more of the experience, and he just rolled in the same kind of weather. I feel Jonas Gray is good. I like Jonas Gray. Maybe a few carries, but I really just don't want to see anyone but Blount running the ball. He's stronger, bigger. I just feel way better.
Hey, you know, listen, if Blunt's the number one back, I have no problem with that. But I'd like to see Gray out there for, you know, 7-8 carries.
Yeah, I have no problem with Gray. I think he's a good back. I just feel Blount in this situation is going to be more valuable.
Possibly. Yeah, I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only one more question. Since this is my first time at Gillette, I heard a lot of rumors about parking. What is the price of parking? Do you guys even know?
$40.
Okay. Because I heard some from like 77.
I think it's 50.
Yeah. Oh, is it 50?
I think
it's 40.
I thought it was 50.
Some lots.
Well, if it's a
lot, you're
if it's
a Patriots
own
lot,
it's
I think
40.
It's 50.
Oh,
see, I
so 40. All right,
well,
guys.
40
you know,
or 50.
Kevin?
Yeah.
All right. Hope to talk to you guys next week.
Okay. Right, thanks, Matt.
I think it's 40.
Have a good time.
Okay. I think it's
40.
I
would bank on at least 40.
Yeah, definitely.
They do take credit cards, just so you know.
Oh yeah.
I'm not sure the other lots do, but stadium lots you can.
Wow, didn't know that.
Let's go to Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester.
So much money that if people, geez, I don't got 50
money. Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey. I want to call in real quick. First of all, Pats Nation, it's time to unite. It's time to get ready for AFC Championship game. All this laundry, you know, with fans going back and forth. Enough is enough. Let's shift gears. Let's get together. Let's start to get ready for a big game. You know, it's time for this nation to raise up. You know me, I'm all about the laundry, and it kills me to hear everybody bantering over this BS, you know, mere couple days before this AFC Championship game. Time to get fired up. Look, for me, it's simple. Offense, we've got to get an early start here. We've got to control timing and tempo and, you know, just really unleash the guns. I'm looking to get an early
lead. And, you know, and conversely, if we don't get the early lead, I ain't going to be too worried about it. I feel like we can still, you know, come back. You know, Indy does not have the ability to shift gears and run the ball and control the clock. So, you know, I feel like either scenario is going to benefit us. On defense, I'm looking to see some disguising this week. You know, it's important that we keep Andrew Luck off of his game, keep out of his comfort zone. You know, I'd like to see a little Arrington coming in off the edge on a corner blitz. But, you know, I'd like to see less base and more trickery. I think Andrew Luck, we got to scare him, you know what, crapless, if you will. And, you know, that's what I want to see overall. Final score for me, 38-26. And that's all I got. Go Pats. Let's get him, baby.
Over. All right. 12-point win for Chester. Yeah? No.
Well, we got picks coming up. We'll give ours.
Okay. Todd in Nova Scotia.
Gotta hurry.
If Andrew Luck wants to be the face of the league or do commercials, what's up with the Amish beard? Matt Patricia will never get a head coaching job looking like he just came off the mountain, and Luck will never be successful looking like he should have a buggy whip in his hand. That's my best Andy Hart.
Buggy whip.
Patriots 31, Colts 20.
Kind of agree with that.
I think he can win with it.
Jim in Pittsburgh.
Really?
Writes
I would just rather
really?
See him.
You really don't think it matters what his facial hair is to
I
win?
Know. The man who says
this guy
judges quarterbacks by their looks.
Has a bearded guy never won? I mean, Fouts never won. So who's the next best bearded
guy?
Yeah,
and I also think there's a difference between a beard and that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the old commercial where the guy's pulling stuff out of his beard.
He doesn't trim it like
no.
Like I was looking while I was, you know,
neck is just ridiculous.
Yeah. And Ninkovic, I was looking yesterday, has every bit the beard, but this is trim. The
Ninkovic
neck
almost looks fake. It's so perfect.
I asked him. I said, "Is this natural? Or are you doing some things?"
I'm not sure about this, but I think Luck has maybe an acne problem, and he has the beard to cover it up.
No, I don't think.
Think he did.
You don't think so?
No.
He didn't always have this.
Yeah,
he's only done
it since he got in the.
Well, maybe when it outbreaks, he. Keeps growing. I don't know. I just remember him seeing him without it, and
I'm not
like,
sure.
Oh, now I know why he grows a beard.
But I'm not sure beards are good for acne problems.
It probably is.
It like blocks the pores.
Exactly.
And stuff, yeah. I would think.
But sometimes you just like the hell.
Doesn't
with it.
Give you the ability to cleanse. Yeah. And I don't think that's it. I think he likes it. I think he's just.
He's a different cat.
Yeah.
I heard one of the guys.
Doesn't he the flip phone guy and the this and the that? And
I forget who it was, but one of his teammates was on with Toucher and Rich yesterday, and they were talking to him about, you know, just how different he is. And
maybe the BC lineman?
I don't think
Costanzo.
It was. Was it Costanzo? I didn't think it was him, but he was talking about how, you know, he's got some different interests. Let's put it that way. They asked him, you know, is he just a big goof? And he's like, I can't call my quarterback a goof. You know, he's got some different interests. Let's just put it that way. And then they pressed him on it, and he goes, well, you know, like he reads a lot of books about some different stuff. Like he's an architecture major. He was reading a book on a road trip recently, The History of Concrete. He's just a different guy.
That's awesome.
I mean, the history of concrete. Could there be a worse, like
it's a heavy subject.
Subject for a whole.
I knew there were. I knew,
I knew you were working on something.
I knew they'd start to pour in.
Oh.
Jim in Pittsburgh writes, and I agree about Buffalo fans. They're horrible. I went to see the Pats play in Pittsburgh, Gronk's rookie year. We crushed them for my first ever Patriots game. I was surprised how well we were treated by Steeler fans, even though they lost. There was talk back and forth, but never heard anything really nasty. My wife and I went to see them in Buffalo in 2011, and holy crap, were Bills fans nasty. It didn't matter if it was a woman or a kid. If they saw a Patriots jersey, they were nasty. I like having Rex in the division. He's a good coach and entertaining. The bad part is if Buffalo is competitive, there won't be the cheap tickets like we used to get in the past, $60 each for seats on the 35 behind the Patriots bench, 14 rows up. God, I miss the Bills being eliminated from the playoffs by week 9. Go Pats. Can't wait to see Andrew Luck's Peyton face.
He doesn't have one of those.
I don't think so.
No, he doesn't get.
He doesn't get. He just gets like really, really frustrated sometimes.
I like
him. You know, I put him in a bad spot.
I like him.
I don't know how you can root against him.
He's. Well, I told you last year when he had that the comeback against Kansas City and they handed it off to Donald Brown and he got hit immediately and fumbled and Luck recovered the fumble. And he said in the post game, that was all my fault, so I had to make up for my mistake. I set Donald Brown up for failure on that play. I'm like, are you serious?
Chris with a TIAN writes in, give Paul a raise. His hour on Felger and Maz is excellent radio. I was stuck in traffic on the way home yesterday, and Paul's perfect blend of football acumen and subtle, sometimes blatant shots at Greg Bedard made all the difference while sitting in traffic.
All right.
We did have a couple of those.
That and him stealing my shtick on the every show week with you? Saying, who's going to cover Gronkowski?
All right.
Is he on the show with you?
I just, it's amazing how territorial he is with Rob Gronkowski.
No, it's because
no one else can say it.
You attack me on here for saying who's going to cover Gronkowski.
Because you want to have his
children.
And
then I click in the 50,000-watt worldwide leader.
I don't attack you for saying that he's a great player. I attack you for saying that, like, you know, he's smart and things like that.
By the way, Matt, forget it. Anyone else I'd have something to say right now.
Fred from Copenhagen. Great
How
work.
How do you say it, Eric?
Copenhagen.
Great work. I think I can speak for all fans across Europe when I say how much I appreciate being able to follow the team so closely through yours and the other shows. It's the sole reason I've grown to love this team so much through the years. If it had not been for
Front
PFW, it would have been a much more distant following. First, is there a numbers for Danish callers to phone in?
Oh, no. Check the list.
I would love to call in sometime after listening for so many years. Do we have a...
What are the Danmarkians say?
We have Sweden. That's
we have
all
a
we
Swedish
got.
Number.
I've asked you to fix these. Not all these get used. We could read...
Give me a list. Give me a list and we'll fix it.
Japan, you're out. I'm just telling you.
Give me a list and we'll change it up.
Ukraine, you're out. We need a Brazilian.
I don't have any particular fears about the Colts game, only a slight worry that something freakish could happen that leads to a Colts win. But for this game and going forward for me, it's all about the Patriots. I want to ask about the Chung extension. How impressed have you been with his play this season after being predicted a special teams role at most? And on a side note, ever notice that Marshall Faulk looks like he's doing the blue steel look, sitting on the John at the same time? Think that pisses me off most about him.
I don't even pay any attention to Marshall Faulk.
I don't either.
At all. Or any of the guys on that NFL network show.
But the first part of that's a good one, because I distinctly remember saying, if Patrick Chung starts at safety, it's a bad sign for your defense. And we just spent the last month talking about how you have a championship-caliber defense now, and Patrick Chung has started all year long.
He's played better than he did the first go-around.
Well, don't tell that to Bill. And by the way, he's not nearly as good as Bill loves him. Bill thinks he's the greatest, you know. Yes, I mean, is he a corner? Is he a safety? Corner-like skill.
Wow.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he also gave Marcus Cannon an extension. So.
That's true. But Chung has been phenomenal. Phenomenal this year. I think he's played really well. He's fit
he's
in well.
He's had a few mistakes, obviously.
They all have.
But he's played.
Darrell Revis gave up a
50-yard
touchdown.
He's played better at safety than he did in his first few years here.
And he fits in well, and part of that might be.
And he hasn't gotten hurt. Which was his problem the first time around.
That's right.
Knock on
right,
wood, Fred.
Yeah. First play of the game, boom, he gets hit and slammed on my shoulder.
Tom in Encinitas, has there ever been a do your job chant in Gillette? With the emphasis on the slogan on the website, it's well known associated with Belichick. Could you see the scoreboard operator starting this chant? If yes, what is the right scenario to get the crowd cheering, do your job?
Down 21-0. And Brady takes over.
I think when the guys take the tarp off, they should start chanting, do your job, do your
and
job.
And the guys will yell back, we are.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not a hobby.
Yeah. It's not really the kind of chant that you would, you know, say to get your team going. Right?
Yeah, it doesn't really inspire much confidence as a cheer.
Like even like a third down stop, do your job.
Boring.
I guess Bill had a lot of it going on in the sound effects thing from the Ravens game.
Oh, yeah?
In the third quarter, it just that was, listen, fellas, you know, and started into his do your job routine.
Slants and end cuts.
I just think like.
Everybody just do your job!
He's such a genius in these schemes, and he falls, like, that's all he says. Do your job!
So when he becomes an analyst someday, he's just going to say, you know.
This guy didn't do his job.
Pagano and Luck.
This guy did
that's
his job.
That's all it is. So, Pagano and Luck.
So Bill, you know.
No,
I don't know what his job was, but he certainly wasn't doing it.
Bill, geez, it was like night and day. What did you say to the boys at halftime? I told them to do their job.
Yeah, you know how in basketball they have the huddle, and then they have like the Greg Dickerson, and they come back with what right. did Doc tell him to?
Right.
Well, I just listened to Bill Belichick, and he said emphatically, "Do your job." Back to you guys. Like, thanks, Bill.
Marcus is in D.C. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. Always listen, never miss a show. I guess it's my like third time call. Anywho. I'll be up there for the game. Actually, I want to throw a shout-out to McMurphy's Bar and Grill. Well, it's not actually a grill. It's Murphy's Bar. We're bringing up, I think, 9 people from the bar here in Virginia.
Nice. All right.
Yep.
So on Saturday, we're going to the hall. What you guys going to be? You guys going to be around?
What day?
Saturday?
Saturday?
On Saturday.
Oh,
no, no, no way, no, Jose. No.
Got about 17 youth basketball games to attend.
I'll buy you a few rounds, even you, Eric.
Ooh, even an Eric. I like it. You're my favorite caller.
Where is Murphy's?
It's in Virginia.
So where are you going to be on Saturday then?
Here.
On Saturday, I'm going to come up to the hall probably, I don't know, around 1 or so.
Yeah.
And then just hang out and probably maybe go to Davio's, you all say, right?
That's Oh, yeah. There you go. Fred lives
the closest and appears intrigued.
I might come up for a drink at Davio's.
Sniff.
Okay, that works. I don't know how we can make it work, but.
He'll be there.
He'll be the fat guy walking in.
So Saturday we're doing, I'm probably go up there around 1 and hang out a little bit. And then Sunday we're going to be tailgating all day and then hitting the game.
Okay. Now, are you guys driving up as a group? You said there's 9 of you?
No, we're not going to. A couple of people are driving, a couple of people are taking planes. So it's just kind of, we're going to all meet up on Sunday morning and head to the stadium.
Now, is that a Patriots bar?
Yeah, it's a Patriots bar, yep.
Okay. Nice.
Patriots bar.
Are you registered on the fan club registry on Patriots.com?
I think so. I'm not sure, but it should be because it's usually about 100 to maybe 150 people.
Well, tell the owner or the manager to get his bar registered so then people who are in the area and they're looking for a bar to watch, they'll find that bar on Patriots.com.
More than 100.
Free advertising, basically.
Make sure it happens for next season.
Yeah, free advertising.
And what?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Marcus. Well, listen, send an email to Web Radio on Saturday about what time you think you might be around. And, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll stop by.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
All right.
Keep your fingers crossed.
No, but it's like. He invited you. No, there's no problem. Like, I'm not mocking you, but it's like, maybe I'll bestow my presence upon
you. I don't know what I'm going to be doing Saturday.
If I was close and could come get a free beer and a burger with this guy, I'd come
hang out. I'm excited about the game.
I like
to be with some other Patriots fans, you know, the night before.
Did you hear? It's exciting. That one? No. I like the people.
Oh,
except when we're actually with the people.
I'm certainly not going to get invited to any of the big AFC championship parties, so I might as well make my own.
You used to get invited to those.
Well, everyone did.
Really?
Back in the day. They don't have them anymore. Now it's very private.
Oh. I'm just going to let him be the one to talk about this.
And
I don't
know what the worst
trouble.
Part is? If he wanted to go,
he could go.
He could go.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, you could.
That's not the way it works. Not the way it
and
works.
And just when you got a car,
I just
got
to make sure that
parties.
I don't have to be there.
Remember, he used to go to the parties in the Spartan Jeep. Now he has a Lexus, which would fit in maybe with the crowd, and he's not invited to the party.
Exactly.
It's like this.
You
weird,
used to be the thing that didn't belong, but that's not the case anymore. No.
I still
Although
don't
if you wear that vest or that sweatshirt, you won't belong.
I still don't belong, believe me.
I got to make sure that I don't belong.
You don't belong in any way
I'm
or
worried.
Fashion.
I'm worried about it still. Usually by this time of the week, it's usually off, and it
I'm
still hasn't
worried
been
to make
off.
Money. I wish I could worry about making money.
I have a lot of things to do on Saturday. I got to jam a lot of things into the one day off.
Yeah, that's true.
Although I am taking Monday off, too.
Oh, really?
You guys get Saturday off? How's that
the day after the game?
Oh, shut up. Oh.
What are you doing, a Revs game?
You just take the rest.
Oh, we have all the damn walkthroughs with the league.
You
on
just
Saturday.
Take the rest of the days off.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm on the web schedule.
Right. Jeff in Vegas is on the line. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Vegas.
Where does that come from, by the way?
Him.
Yeah, I know.
That's how he talks.
Where does it come from?
He talks like that. He's a weirdo.
Let me share the answer of that with you, Eric. It comes from just my parents obviously still live in Linfield, Mass., a close suburb of Paul Perillo's estate.
Very howdy-towdy up there, too.
Linfield's a lot more worthy of estate status than Peabody.
It's new money, though. It's not like Marblehead or
Linfield
Manchester
is
by the
not
sea.
New.
It's all new. Back in the day, it used to be some mafioso type of money as well. As I'm
that
sure
is
Paul
that is accurate, which is why I like Linfield. You are right.
That is correct. And, Eric, to this day, my parents, like the landscaper or the guy who plows the driveway, he'll come to the door and be like, "Hi, how are you?" That's how I say,
Okay, that's a good story.
Yeah, exactly. So there's something behind it. Just a little bit, a tidbit of info about the number. I was really angry. It dropped to New England -6.5, yesterday, but now it's back up to 7. So
is that where it started, 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to 7, first down to 6.5, and up to 7.
And so you didn't snag the 6.5?
I did, actually. Oh, okay. I was furious about the lack of respect.
You're such an idiot.
And back to doing our job, I think it was Olivier was the first caller to really coin the do your job.
Never heard from Olivier.
He did used to say that a lot in his own unique accent.
Yes.
Do yeah, your exactly. job.
Yes. And yeah, Bill, that was those were Bill's words.
Sounded
of
strangely like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, when Belichick was mic'd up over that thing, that's exactly, you know, that is what he had to contribute, as Paul said. But I think why this is so exciting, guys, I was just walking by someone on my way out of where I work, and they're like, oh, yeah, and, you know, draped out my New England stuff. And they're like, I think what happened is everyone saw that Monday night game at Kansas City. The whole nation was watching it. And if they somehow win the next two games, just that's got to be like a focus if there's a three games to glory, because they were done. And those press conferences after that week were really just ripping.
That was it.
It was over. It was over.
They hit bottom. And
Jeff, I'm sure you remember a half a season later when Mike Kliss was picking the Broncos to blow the Patriots out on the PPGS, he was citing having watched that Kansas City game as part of the reason. That's the game he watched the most. And he thought that was the Patriots, that team.
Sure.
Yeah, we saw how that turned out for him.
Yeah.
It was a very rocky start. All right, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for the call. Steve in
Killeen.
Where is he from? Anyway, he says, I would like to start by mentioning that I'm unfortunately a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. I am, however, very fortunate to be a New England Patriots fan. Every year, I don't have to worry about hockey season until mid-January because the Patriots are still playing football. So I only have to deal with being a Leaf fan for 3 months, which makes life much easier. Now on to my point.
You're already eliminated by the time you get into it, though. That's not good.
On to my point. A couple weeks ago, I called the pregame social and talked about Brady's breakdowns at the end of the half. The problem doesn't seem to be going away. I would just like to hear your comments on this, as it has been going on since the last Colts game.
It's a problem.
You know, and for a while, it was the Patriots were taking advantage of that end of half. And
they were scoring a lot of points in the last 2 minutes of the half, many times of which were happening even closer to the gun, last 10 seconds of the half. The Colts game, the Chargers game, certainly this past game against the Ravens, there have been some real missteps late in halves lately for Brady.
Why is that, Paul?
I don't have an answer for it. I don't have an answer for it, but it's definitely been a problem.
Bet Greg Bedard would.
Well, Greg Bedard doesn't think there's a problem, so that would be his answer for it. He thinks Brady, you know, either is great when he is not great. This particular week, when we all thought he was great, we were all wrong. He wasn't.
Let's see. Leighton writes in, I wish one time we would match the other team's intensity from the gate instead of not realizing we're in a football game until we get smacked in the mouth. The Colts seem not to have those fiery guys like Sizzle and Smith Jr., but if we get past them and have to play Seattle, arguably the most intense team in the league, we'd be in a world of trouble if we go in that game flat. You know your team lacks a little passion when the most intense dude on your team is your quarterback. TB12 for president.
All right. That's an interesting, interesting point there.
The last point is interesting, but can I just sort of nitpick the premise? You know, as Goodell might say.
Not sure he's the guy you want to cite in anything anymore.
But what was, like, you know, the 7-game winning streak when the Patriots were rolling everybody? Was there an intensity problem?
Oh, yeah.
In those games?
No. That was one of those questions I don't think you need to answer.
No, but when you're winning every game, you know, and it's 7-0, 14-0, you know, 17-3. The last few games, they didn't. They got off to a really bad start the other day. I mean, has that really been a huge issue every game? Like, when, you know, when
well,
are they
first halves have been an issue lately.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about as a whole for this team, do you think that's been the problem all year?
No, not all year.
No. Just
but
when they lose.
4 times.
You know, Seattle, as an example, punted, what, their first 4 or 5 times of the game the other day against Carolina? It was a scoreless game for a long time.
That's true.
But they were very intense when punting.
Okay, so but is that what we're judging intensity on? Because they didn't play well.
That's what people judge intensity on.
But they didn't play
how
well.
How you start the game. They came out flat means they punted 3 times.
Then Seattle came out flat.
It's the dance you do after you make a tackle. It's kind of nonsense.
Do you know what I'm saying? Just because they didn't allow points doesn't mean that they got off to a great start.
I do think we're fixating on the wrong part, though. I think it's interesting to say your quarterback is your most fiery, intense player. That might be interesting there. Now, I would argue that Gronk certainly can be in that mix.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I think they spend a lot of time kind of reining him in. Maybe you don't. And I'll be very interested to talk about this in the next 2 weeks, given my own criticisms of how they handled 07 and the business-like nature.
Yeah.
You are going up against a team that is not going to treat this like a business trip.
How come you don't yell at him when he talks about the next 2 weeks as in certain terms like that?
Well,
only I get yelled at.
Confidence is not allowed?
When did you get yelled at?
Oh, Fred's really mad at me because I don't think there's any chance the Colts can win.
You're mad at him?
Because you know what the difference between you and
him? It's making him, it's making him squirrely.
Because he knows you have weird things in your head and this and that. I just spew it.
I can't argue with that. There's nothing. No one has weirder things in their head than I do. I can't argue with that.
All right.
This particular case, I'm just looking at matchups.
It's been a great week.
It's all about Brady and Belichick.
It's a great week. And speaking of matchups, it's time to do this week's picks. There we go. There we go. So, Paul, what happened last week?
Hold, please. He's got to get the book.
Yep.
He's opening up the book.
Going through 16 pages.
Paul's
17.
Probably leading because he has the book.
let's see. Here. Last week, Eric.
Boo.
And Fred.
As usual.
4-0. Paul and Andy, 3-1.
Wow.
All right.
Does that make me 7-1 to start?
With the spread.
Because we were smart enough to pick the Colts, Fred.
Eric.
Fred wasn't
one.
Smart enough to do
yeah.
anything.
Paul, 2-2. And Andy and Fred, 1-3.
Wow.
So the standings overall are,
wait a minute. I had the
follow.
National championship, didn't I?
That
oh,
is correct.
Oh, yeah.
But we are not counting college games.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we're not?
I picked Ohio State.
I'll tell you why in a second. 7-1 for Andy, 6-2 for Eric, 5-3 for Paul and Fred. With the spread.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Andy, Eric, and Paul, 4-4.
Mm.
And Fred.
Fred.
3-5.
Well, that's your only one game off.
You just stunned me. After my 1-3, I was like,
you were 3-1
like,
the first week.
We are utterly mediocre.
So the college games, yes. Andy, Eric, and Paul all lost both, and Fred won both. So if you need those standings updated.
Quack, quack.
Could be a Buckeye, but I don't know what that is.
Andy was 1-2.
For what?
College games.
Eric was 1-2. I was 0-3, and Fred was 1-2. So not a very good job with the college games.
No.
With the spread,
well, to be fair,
one and two.
We don't
for
really
Eric.
Watch.
I mean, 1-2 for Andy, 1-2 for Eric, 2-1 for Fred. So
finally, nobody knows the college game like Fast Fred.
And 0-3 for Paul.
Oh.
I went 0-3, 0-3. College games. That's why the college games don't count.
All right.
By the way, I laughed.
I totally picked with my heart in every game.
The Ohio State kid.
I'm okay with that. In
is 6'2", 280 that you want to be your inside linebacker?
Oh, Joey Bosa.
Yeah. He's a defensive lineman.
6'2", 280. Yeah. He's a small defensive lineman.
Well,
yeah, but that's still
280-pound defensive lineman is not.
He's a big linebacker.
Not tiny. He's like Dominic Easley.
He's a can't-move linebacker. Yeah.
That's Dominic Easley.
Okay.
And especially at the 6'2". If he were 6'5", 278.
You don't think he could be like a what was the little Zach from
Thomas?
Miami?
Zach Thomas
type?
God,
no,
not even close.
Zach Thomas was like 5'10".
You think Zach Thomas was 280 pounds?
No, but he was a smaller linebacker.
Yeah, he was like 5'10".
Shorter.
But this guy would be an enormous linebacker.
That's true. He's 280. You're right. Wow. You're right.
Just when you were bragging about how you know the college.
Now,
I was thinking of his height.
Well, to your point, that Bosa guy, if he's 280 pounds, he probably could play some kind of hybrid outside linebacker position. But,
yeah.
I mean, the Zach Thomas.
Is this the guy you were talking about before, Andy?
I think he got punched in the right eye and swollen shot. Leave him alone. Trying to make a living.
But, no. He's not trying to make a living. He has ascended to the NFL Network. He's
Mike,
not on local
Mike Chappell
cable.
Front and center.
I actually kind of like that blue helmet with the white.
Did you hear what he said the
white,
other day, Pagano? Said, I heard a guy on a radio station in Boston said I wasn't a good coach. I had deer in the headlights.
Did he really say that?
No, I'm kidding. All right. First game. Green.
Did he really say that? You bought that?
You never know.
Green Bay at Seattle.
Seattle by 7.5.
Seattle by 7.5.
I'll take Seattle to win and cover. At home, against a team they've beaten at home, against a quarterback who's, I think he's going to look like a deer in headlights because I think they're going to come after him, and he's not physically going to be able to do. Unless this is all a farce, you know, all that skipping down the field.
Right,
the other day,
right, right.
I think he's just not physically capable of playing how he needs to play in this game. Seahawks roll.
Yeah.
I like the Seahawks to win, too. They're at home. That's a tough out for any team. Not impossible, as the Cowboys proved this year, but it's still a tough one. And with Rodgers a little banged up, that's probably the edge that they need. Although, I'm going to give Green Bay some credit that they will. Maybe it's a backdoor cover, but I think that the 7 points is going to be a lot to ask for in this game.
Who are we rooting for?
So I'll take the Packers with the points.
Packers. We're rooting for the Packers.
You want Seattle
to win
and
the points? Yes.
I'll take on an injured Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and take my chances.
I think it would be an easier matchup if the Packers were in it. Yeah.
Paul.
But I wouldn't mind seeing Seattle.
Oh, that'll be a fun week.
It'll be a fun week.
Wilson, Pete, the Styles. You should be nervous.
You should be nervous either way.
Yeah, I don't.
You know who else should be nervous? Nate Solder across the line to Sebastian Vollmer.
If you're looking for the easier game, that's what you're strictly asking. I agree. I think Green Bay would be the easier matchup with Rodgers' health. I don't think that he would pose a huge problem. But
although you played the Packers, and
commercial.
That means you always lose the second time, right, in the playoffs, Bill?
Okay.
Well, didn't we deduce that yesterday?
Yes.
500
that they
coach.
Have a winning record.
Yeah, he's a 500 coach.
He was over 500.
A little bit over.
10-8, right?
He's over 500. Yeah.
And he'll be 11-8.
Go ahead, Paul.
That's true.
Yep.
They'll make it 11-8. I like Seattle in the game, and I think Seattle is going to you know, the whole Aaron Rodgers thing is really under my skin at this point with the, you know, I'm going to play and, you know, I'm not sure if you knew, but he has a calf problem.
Haters going to hate.
Players going to play.
I think this is going to get ugly. I thought it was ugly when he was fully healthy and everybody opened the season, you know, way back when, 4.5 months ago. I think it's going to be ugly again. I don't think they have the toughness to win in Seattle.
Yeah. Well, in PFW, I call for a Patriots-Packers Super Bowl.
So you're going to stick with it.
I've got to stick with it, but I'm not.
So did I.
Oh.
Yeah, I got to go with Seattle. I just think they're the better team right now. And you know what? Yeah, their defense, but Russell Wilson is freaking good. He's just.
It's a terrible offensive line, though. That's the only thing I would worry about with Seattle.
Yeah, but he makes up for it.
I know,
of his
but at some point, you know, he can't. You know, at some point, you're running around trying to make those plays, and you just can't do it.
Yeah, I don't think Green Bay has what it takes to stop
him. I don't either.
Him.
I don't either.
You know? So I have to go with Seattle here.
You're laying the points?
I'm laying those points.
So you're like me.
I don't know what that meant. I had to figure out what that meant.
How many years have we been doing this?
No wonder you always lose.
Let's see. I'm going to I think they're going to win by more than 7, so that means all right, yeah, so Seattle. Okay, so let's now go to
back.
6:30.
No, or, actually, no. We're the late
6:40 kickoff. 6:40.
Yes, 6:40.
Mm-hmm. I like that they're being honest about when the kickoff is. They're not saying 6:30 so they can jam in a bunch of commercials for the unwary.
What he was going to say? A bunch of what?
Indianapolis at New England.
As Jeff in Vegas said, it had dropped down to 6.5, and that's what it was in the paper this morning. So that's what we shall go with.
That's perfect for me. I'm going to take the Patriots, as I've said all week. I'm preparing for Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I've started looking at the weather and which I'm going to pack.
I haven't looked at the weather yet.
I saw 49
is
today.
It better than,
it was a little
cooler. It's not better than the last time we were there?
I love that. I might be able to sneak shorts and a sweatshirt.
49
in.
During the day?
That's what it said.
Really?
Yeah. But in all seriousness, this game, I just don't like the matchup from a Colts perspective. Unless you absolutely think the Patriots' pass defense has been overrated this whole time and they're not that good, then you might have a problem. But I think Darrell Revis matches up with T.Y. Hilton.
Sure.
And that takes away the first option. And now everything else falls into place. I don't fear Wayne killing Browner. I don't fear Fleener or Allen killing the linebackers and safeties. So I don't fear Luck having enough receivers to.
And by the way, Browner was in the locker room today. Looked fine.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
He was strutting through, eyeing people up like he does with that strut thing he does.
Yeah.
He's fine.
He'll play.
The only injury issue, in my opinion, is Stork.
Stork's
not going to play.
I don't think Stork's
legitimate. Right.
And the defensive line for them is not the Ravens. They're not going to massively kill you to take advantage of it.
I think you're grossly underestimating Art Jones. I don't know why you're doing that.
Because
you do that at your own risk.
Because I am. Because he's the third most talented
Paul,
of the Jones brothers.
Tongue firmly in cheek.
No, I just think it's funny. Like I've always known him as Arthur Jones, and now all of a sudden he's Art. I think it's really funny.
Well, I typed it on Twitter today because I didn't know if he was a UR or an ER, so I just went with Art.
I think Arthur Love is the only ER Arthur I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, see, he spelled his name ER?
Yeah, he did.
And that is forever emblazoned in my head, and it makes me wonder. And even though Paul's right, you really shouldn't wonder.
And if you write it in Word, it's going to come up as accurate because
right.
It's in the dictionary.
Right. I think the Patriots run the football. I think play action, go with my Cameron Fleming first play, then get Gronk going. Landry won't stop him, just like anybody else won't stop him. Paul Perillo, as you know and you spew regularly. Patriots cruise 27-20.
Cruz, 27-20.
I'm just sticking with my score because I said that previously, and it'd be funny if I predicted it a month earlier.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think it's actually going to be 42-10.
I agree that they're going to run the football more. They're going to be a more balanced offense, and I think Luck will make some plays with himself, you know, running the ball and throwing. No, I mean, you know what I mean.
Do you say these things on NFL Now when you're in these fights? I think Luck will play with himself on national TV.
I didn't say play with himself. Idiot.
Well, do you ever think about what you're going to say before it comes out so you know that he's going to yell at you?
He's going to make plays.
I know. You don't have to apologize to me, Eric.
And
you were talking about
receivers.
Football. I knew exactly what you meant. You don't have to apologize to me. I can't speak for the rest of the panel.
It's been a blowout the first three times he's played this team. It's not going to be a blowout this time. The Patriots will win and cover, though. There will be a 10-point victory, 34-24. You'll get your balance on offense. Luck will make one or two mistakes in key situations, but
as he is wont to do.
It's going to be closer than people think, but the Patriots will still pull it out.
Okay.
And head to Arizona.
All right. Paul? Desert Storm.
I think it's pretty apparent what I think.
Right. 500-0.
I think provided that there are no incidents with the buses to get here, I think that the game will not be competitive for more than
take buses on game day, right?
More than a quarter
team?
Or
no,
so.
They drive. More to worry about them is individual vehicles.
Yes.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine this game being close. I just don't see it. I don't think the Colts win virtually any matchup that's of any significance in this game. I don't think they're strong enough up front defensively, as Andy pointed out with Stork, to take advantage of that possible weakness with Klein and Wendell or Cannon or whoever it happens to be.
Can't spell line without Klein.
I just don't think that any of the things that the Patriots might not
do. You ever think about what you say before you say
at
it?
At a high level, the Colts can't take advantage of.
Paul's talking serious football.
Yeah. I've been trying to figure it out all week. What am I missing? What can happen other than the regular, turnover filled sloppy game? You put the ball on the ground three times like you did the other day, you're probably not going to recover them all.
Right.
All of a sudden it's game on. That's a scenario I could see. You play poorly, you really play poorly, you can lose.
If they play
the way they did this past Saturday, they win the game by three touchdowns.
If both teams play their best game, Paul Perillo,
Patriots win in an absolute bludgeoning.
I'm giving the Colts defense a little credit here. I think they've been playing much, much better the second half of the season. They gave up 13 points and 16 points in two playoff games so far. I think they're going to give the Patriots a little bit of problem, but not enough. And this is a game where I think the Patriots defense will do what we were hoping they were going to do last
week. Their job?
27-19, Patriots.
27-19. Going with the very Chris Berman, 19.
Okay, that's a cover. I just want to make sure I didn't cover back to my notebook.
I worked that out in my head before I said it. So
you know how it works now.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that.
27-19 Patriots win, but it's not going to be
gonna
as
be,
easy as people think.
I'm with you.
Now, again, you are not mentally prepared to lose.
I am not mentally prepared to lose.
That's the important thing.
Yeah.
So you fully expect next Tuesday to be talking about a win and
Arizona plan.
I absolutely expect that.
As you should be.
Yep. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. PPGS starts when?
What time does it start?
4:15
on Sunday. Then you have the game, Xbox, and we'll be back on Tuesday, win or lose. Question is, will we be back on Wednesday? See you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.